for the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Katrina disaster highlighted all types of weakness in our society. We'll look at one of them Monday morning at 7. The Red Cross Charter says its purpose is to carry out relief in times of peace and mitigate suffering during major calamities. But who do they help? In 1927, a flood decimated roughly the same area of the South. The Red Cross came in and gave food to whites first, then blacks got anything left over. In World War II, the donated blood of blacks and whites was segregated. In the 80s, the Red Cross opposed national testing of blood for HIV, citing financial costs. After 9/11, it raised $540 million, but less than half that amount actually went to victims or their families. And this year, after Katrina, it got kicked out of an Atlanta relief center because of ungodly slow processing and false promises of financial payments. After raising $1 billion in pledges, the Red Cross is getting reimbursed for expenses by FEMA. A bait-and-switch charity? We'll take a closer look Monday morning at 7 with Counterpunch journalist Joe Allen on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49.
Most people with diabetes also have high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can cause severe heart damage. In fact, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide. Choose to live.
Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
Harriet Myers bows out. Judge Samuel Alito jumps in. Scooter Libby goes down for the count. There's so much happening, you need a scorecard to keep up. That's why Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress joins us Thursday morning at 9 to see if the Bush bus is swerving to the right or if it's already in the ditch. When will these issues cross paths? Find out Thursday morning here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Revolution! I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The anthem, brother. Help me listen.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. You know what? You need to get up. You need to get up. We have so much stuff. Get up! We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. All kinds of ways. You need to get up to me. That's what I'm talking about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And where do we should I just begin kind of saying, well, maybe we should just call it Indictment Thursday? Does it seem like every Thursday some Republicans getting indicted? Is there any foreseeable future of the day or of the week that we're not going to have some Republican indicted somewhere? Should we just continue to refer to this as Indictment Thursday? I mean, Scoot is getting indicted today. Scooting on over to the courthouse. Scooting on up to the judge. And a little old indictment to be handed down. George W. Bush is fleeing on indictment day. I understand. I think if you open up the Karl Rove playbook and you look under the do not do column, do not do, or thumb open to the do not do section, because it's more than a column, it's a section, it's the thickest part of the book. I think if you look under the Karl Rove do not do section, it says do not be in town when indictments come down. But that means I have to go to someplace else where they hate me. I don't care. Do not be in town when indictments come down. It's kind of a twist on if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Do not be in town when indictments come down. They have it on T-shirts. They have it on Post-its. You know those little Post-its you put on your bathroom window? Don't forget the milk. George Bush says, do not be in town when indictments come down. So off he jets to, let me see, where can he go in the world where he will be snuggled up in a loving embrace. Let me go someplace where Hugo Chavez is. He's headed to Central America. For a Central, and when his plane bumps down on the runway, slowly breaks to a stop, there will be thousands and thousands of Argentinians. Say that, I love that word, Argentinians. With signs that say, "Imperialists, go home. We don't want your stuff here either." And then George will get this confused look on his face. Take the postage sticker off the back of his wife. Hold it up to his face. Work his dyslexic mind through the sentence again, and he will come to the conclusion, "But Carl said that I'm not supposed to be in town. Do not be in town when indictments come down." I'm so confused. Hugo Chavez got something for your baby. He got something for your baby. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hugo Chavez says, "You know all that stuff you're trying to stuff down the throats of my people? Of my part of the world? That whole NAFTA mess that didn't work in the United States? That old CAFTA mess is going to mess up a whole lot? You ain't doing that stuff here in Central America. We're bringing you the death warrant for the mess you're trying to bring up here in Central America. I got something for you. The difference between Hugo and Boy George. Hugo has an 80-something percent approval rating of his people. Hugo has an 80-something approval, but people, it's kind of like President Chavez is like the polar opposite, the complete opposite, the I don't know, good evil. I think the differences between them are that huge. Hugo Chavez is doing everything in his country, and he didn't need Hurricane Katrina to show him poor people and then ignore them. He didn't need a Hurricane Katrina to show racism and then ignore it. You know, these are amazing times. These are God-driven times. Despite what stupid 50 Cent said. I'd smack that boy, but apparently he's been smacked a whole lot. 50 Cent said, and I quote, "I don't know what Kanye West is talking about." Boy, you got 18 bullet holes in you. You don't understand what Kanye West was talking about. Oh, you got a movie you're trying to promote. And Howard, you'll love this. He says that the reason that Samuel Jackson won't appear in his movie is because Samuel Jackson is afraid to be outshined by a man who's never been in a movie in his life. He said, "You better take what dimes and quarters you have left. Go read a book. Watch some news. Open up your eyes. You got the emergency room now. You can open your eyes and look at the world that's around you." Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson said, "I do not appear in movies with unproven actors." Fair enough. Somebody got to have some standards out there. Ain't that some stuff? And then, you know, I expected more from 50 Cent with all his smack talk. I expected more that he would be able to, like, get a dig in on somebody. I mean, you street, right? You know, you got all this street cred, right? His insult to Samuel Jackson is, "He old enough to be my grandfather." Okay, that's all you got? you know, at least he's lived long enough to be somebody's granddad. Okay? You know, okay? Is there some follow-up, Mr. Scent? He's old enough to be your granddad? Okay. I guess you can do math. But your point would be what? You know? Hey, there's some stuff. Boy, you need to sit down. You need to sit down. Whew, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I went from George W. Bush, Hugo Chavez to 50 Cent. Not many people can do that. Not many people can do that. Whew, my name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
Good morning.
All that money and no brains.
All that money and I would say negative brain.
No brain.
You know, I mean,
oh,
the only
I mean,
thing
that's terrible.
It's stupid.
It is. Just don't say nothing.
Don't say and you know, I expected more. I am sorely disappointed. You're old enough to be my granddaddy. And sweetie. And
that's just, you know.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy one of his CDs and then take it back. I want to take it back.
Let me say something about this violence that's supposedly breaking out in Vashon. You know, this man, what the superintendent was on television this morning talking about, we going to have this meeting with the parents. And I hope the parents get their act together and protest them closing triads. See, triad school on Kings Highway was a school where they sent the kids with behavior problems. They have these kids, Liz, in the school.
Wait a minute. I'm not even going to go to triad right now. I'm going to go to the fact that they have Can't Teach for America's children running around the halls of Vashon. Mm-hmm. Children that don't have any teaching certification. They're only there. Most of them are only there simply to pay off their student loans. They don't know how to teach. They will never be teachers. And you crowd kids in classrooms. You don't give kids books. You don't put people that are principals over the school that know how to. You have a superintendent. This superintendent has nothing to say to misbehavior when he's taking $300,000
right.
a year for a job that he's not qualified for.
Yeah, right.
So he needs, I don't even want to talk about triad because the fact of the matter is that you put any group of kids in a situation like that, you're going to have that kind of mess break out. Of course it is.
I mean,
let's not talk. All these babies are not behavioral babies. They are babies in a bad situation. How do adults act when they're overcrowded?
Right. Well, see, you know, the thing of it is, before I retired from the system, if you had that problem where kids just had a little problem like that, they had a place where they could sit down, educate them separately or whatever, because they're about two in a room. Or whatever. But now what has happened, they have put all of these kids in these schools. The teachers, you know, it's kind of hard, Liz, to control a classroom of 40 to 50 kids.
Well, you're not supposed to. I mean, you use
right.
the word control. You're supposed to be teaching children.
Yeah, and they have closed these schools down, and it's just terrible.
And the superintendent needs to be run out of town on a rail. Do you know that they have lied about the dropout rate? They said that last year zero students dropped out of Maida P. Washington. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, did you hear that? They're lying about the dropout rate because if they hadn't lied about the dropout rates, the St. Louis public schools would have fallen below accreditation by a good number of points.
Right.
So they lied about this is the type. This man wants to come and sit in front of students and tell them how to behave. Your entire administration is lying to keep your $300,000 a year job. They talked about Wellston overpaying their superintendent. The city of St. Louis has a $300,000 fake superintendent, and they lied about the dropout rate in order to keep their accreditation. They should snatch it the way that they snatched Wellston.
Yeah, it's really terrible. One more thing, Liz, before I go.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the protest in Argentina against George Bush?
Been talking about it, Dolores.
Yeah, oh, mm-hmm. I was listening on the phone. I was back and forth. Oh man, this man is not liked anywhere. Where can you go? Like you said,
have to dig very deep, very long, until you get to a very, very hot place.
And it's kind of hard not to like a president, Chavez, that's got gas. Their gas is 20 cents a gallon, when we got all these crooks up in the White House with this oil and stuff. I mean, Liz, it's terrible.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. I am Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, 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 much. I got something I want to talk about. That works out real well. I'll be back. Stay with me.
The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine, it's my world. Oh, don't you come a messing with my world.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Comtrax. Southbound 270 on the ramp to westbound 370. There's an accident that's been cleared. Right lane on the ramp remains closed due to road work. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Carondelet, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to Merrimack River Bridge is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Long Road all the way to Lindbergh, no problems there. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall to Blanchett Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 from Lilac all the way into New Florissant, everything is moving well. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Big Bend is rolling steady this morning. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, that exit ramp Broadway is closed until Sunday due to maintenance operations. You can use the 11th Street or 14th Street exits to get around. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is starting to slow in the right lane. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue, the PSB looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Gravel Pit all the way to Memorial Drive, nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3, that ramp from Queenie onto the PSB is moving well. Kineland at Wabeda, look for that to be closed to an overnight structure fire. Southbound 67 between 110 and JJ, there's road maintenance operations. One lane will be closed throughout the day during off-peak hours. And southbound 55 at Bayless, look for paving operations. Two right lanes will be closed as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Comtrax. Comtrax Deep Chest Cold has the ingredients specifically designed to break up stubborn chest congestion and relieve sore throats and coughing. Comtrax knocks out every kind of cold symptom. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Windy but mostly sunny today with a high around 80. For this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy. There's a chance for showers, but the high will only be around 70. Currently, studios of AM 920 WGNU, sunny skies and 56 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies with the sun coming up as well and 55. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. in the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. When you're out driving, ever feel threatened by those big rigs? You have good reason. A major cause of tractor-trailer accidents is due to drivers overly tired and falling asleep behind the wheel. But still, the trucking industry has convinced Congress to allow operators to stay behind the wheel for up to 11 straight hours at a time. Find out which states are the most deadly for these rolling time bombs. Join Jeff Burns of Citizens for Reliable and Safe Highways for a chilling look at big rig safety, Friday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108.
Harriet Myers bows out. Judge Samuel Alito jumps in. Scooter Libby goes down for the count. There's so much happening, you need a scorecard to keep up. That's why Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress joins us Thursday morning at 9 to see if the Bush bus is swerving to the right or if it's already in the ditch. When will these issues cross paths? Find out Thursday morning here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Take on the day and take on Dr. Laura Schlesinger on the internet at WGNU.net.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Make me wanna holla. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get up, get to me. Much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Well, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means, so I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to share it with you. Senator Trent Lott and the head of the Cato Institute questioned whether or not Karl Rove should keep his policy making job. What? Lott of Mississippi William Niskanen of the Libertarian Cato Institute are calling. The question is that, and these are their words, the question is, should he be deputy chief of staff for policy under the circumstances? Most presidents in recent years have a political advisor in the White House. The question is, should be, you know, making policy decisions. That's the question that you got to evaluate. Lott went further, where he urged Bush to be on the lookout for new blood, new energy, and a qualified staff. The Cato guy said that Bush is going to have to sacrifice people who have worked with him to regain some initiative. And Niskanen said that any White House shakeup should start with Rove because of his association with the leak case. Huh. When Bush, when asked Scotty McClellan, I will lie every day if they tell me to. He said, people who work here at the White House have the confidence of the president. Well, dang. I thought if anybody said their name, if anybody was involved, that they were going to lose their gigs. I guess not. Not for real. Not for real. Yesterday, I reported on something that so far has eluded all, you know, nature has not seen this in many, many, many years. I guess we witnessed evolution, and evolution usually takes centuries. Evolution usually takes, sometimes takes millions of years. Evolution takes a long time, you know, to go from fish to land to 4 feet. To semi-upright, to fully upright, usually takes some time up off of that stuff. When you go from invertebrae to vertebrae, we're talking about millions of years. And yet, I think we're watching evolution happened in front of our eyes. The Democrats are going from invertebrate to vertebrate. Perhaps. You know, perhaps. They're getting a little semi-erect. Maybe. Maybe. They had a little shutdown. They had a little shutdown. What do we always say on this show? Shut it down. Shut it down. I guess, you know, like, what do they say? You drop a pebble in a lake and eventually it reaches the shore. Maybe the shut it down mantra from the wake up call finally reached Washington, D.C. Because they sure shut it down yesterday, or day before yesterday, temper tantrums. The lights I haven't seen outside of the playground of 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds by the Republicans. I'm not speaking to him anymore. He's being mean to me. Make him stop. I mean, that's what you're hearing. Fundamentally, basically, Bill Frist said, I'm not talking to him anymore. Because he didn't tell me. I mean, isn't that what children say? Bobby didn't tell me he was going to wear his blue shirt today. I'm not his friend no more. You're not my friend. That's what they're saying. You're not my friend anymore. The Democrats shut down. They took a secret move. They took a move that requires no vote. And since 1929, there's only been 53 other times where secret sessions have been held, and generally for reasons of national security. There were, let me see, in 1997, the Senate held a secret session to consider Chemical Weapons Convention Treaty. In 1992, the Senate met in secret session to consider most favored nation trade status for China. 1983, Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. And there was also a session held on Nicaragua. In 1942, a secret session was held on Navy plans to build battleships and aircraft carriers. And in 1943, a secret session was held on reports from the war fronts. You want to know when most of these secret sessions were held? And this is why it's just so galling and galling and inexplicable. And this is why it's an evolution and we're not exactly fully upright with regard to the Democrats. Yeah, this is why we're still in the invertebrate, working towards vertebrae status. Because when we had most of these sessions, six of them were held during the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Democrats are just now getting around to doing this. And we've been in an illegal war. Y'all just now getting around to doing this. No, we still evolving, folks. Ain't nobody fully upright yet. None of these Democrats are fully upright yet. Six of them. During these secret sessions, the doors of the chambers are closed. The chambers and its galleries are cleared of all individuals except members and those office and employees specified in the rules or essential to the session. Standing Senate Rules 21, 29, 31 cover secret sessions for legislative and executive businesses. Rule 21 calls for the Senate to close its door once a motion is made and seconded. The motion is not debatable and disposition is made behind the closed doors. And it's kind of like Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in these closed sessions stays in these closed sessions. So we don't know if they had, I don't know, wrestling in Jell-O and spaghetti. Or whether they dealt with serious issues, we don't know. We don't know. But it appears like we might be on a journey towards a vertebrae fully upright. We shall see. We'll watch the Democratic Party very Darwinistically. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. I'll be back.
St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Caracas. President Hugo Chavez is threatening to give some of his F-16 fighter jets to Cuba or China. Chavez says the United States has reneged on a contract it has with his country to sell spare parts for those planes. It turns out that Venezuela had made that agreement before Chavez came to power, meaning his predecessors got along better with the U.S. than he does. Chavez says maybe the Bush administration might be upset if military rivals got access to the advanced aircraft. He also said the U.S. is trying to interfere in negotiations between Venezuela and other countries on the upkeep of military equipment and the purchase of newer weaponry. Venezuela recently signed an agreement with China to launch a satellite into orbit and is also investigating a possible fighter aircraft purchase from Beijing. Chavez and Mr. Bush are both scheduled to attend a Latin American summit this week that's to highlight their differences over the future of the region. And Dateline Chicago. If past history is any measure of Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, the White House leak case is a long way from being over with. Fitzgerald headed the corruption case in the Illinois Secretary of State's office that began in April of 2003. Two aides to former Secretary of State and Governor George Ryan were the first to be indicted. When that happened, Fitzgerald said he was not going to comment on individual A, who was Ryan. By the time the former governor received his indictment nearly a year later, 63 other people had also been indicted as a result of the investigation. In this CIA leak case, individual A is most likely Karl Rove, so it's fair to say he's not out of the woods yet either. This is your wake-up call global news update.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new law has just been passed by Congress that protects gun dealers and firearms makers from being sued by shooting victims. The NRA says this legislation was necessary to protect the U.S. firearms industry. But statistics show that only about 1% of unscrupulous gun dealers sell over half the guns that wind up being a part of a criminal investigation. Did the powerful NRA lobby have a hand in getting this legislation approved? How will the reshaped Supreme Court tackle gun-related cases? Don't miss Casey Anderson, attorney for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, discussing legal immunity for the gun industry on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's not the big moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh, no. Yes. Just as many as you. It is your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh, love, yes. Just
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call, the nearness of you. My name is Liz Brown. Did I tell you the name of the show? It's the wake-up call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Tom DeLay's having a little, what do they call that? What do they call that in when kids go to kindergarten and they're leaving home for the first time, or they go to preschool and they're leaving home for the first time, and they clinch onto their mama or daddy's leg, and they stand there crying on the school steps as the mama and daddy drive away. What's that phrase I'm looking for? Separation anxiety. That's what I'm talking about. He's having a little bit of that separation anxiety after being dragged kicking and screaming from the womb of his political power as the leadership head of the United States Congress. Oh, baby, don't cry. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Stop crying. A lot of his rank-and-file Republican
road dogs. That would be a technical congressional term. Say that his ethical problems and uncertain status are staining them and destabilizing GOP unity. What? What? You know what? This is the perfect example. A friend of mine told me about this photograph of a Dr. George Washington Carver. The man was a genius. He didn't come from the planet Earth. He genius. He finally was able to get into an agricultural college, the only African person in the class, of course. They took a picture of the class. I think it was the class of 1902 or something. I don't remember the year of it. There was a couple of white women in the class. 90% of the members were white men. And you laugh, but it's not the kind of, this is so funny. It's just like, ain't that some stuff when you look at this picture. But there's a photograph. There's a photograph documenting the fact that there was this African man, Dr. George Washington Carver, as a member of this graduating class. But all of the white male members and even the white female members, as much as they didn't like women and didn't let them vote and didn't think that they were equal to men, they were all in the middle of the picture, and there is at least 2 to 5 feet between them and Dr. George Washington Carver. So when you frame the picture, you don't have to worry about having that black man in your picture. And technically they can say that, yeah, we included his picture. I mean, his image was in the photograph. So clearly they wanted to distance themselves from the presence of this man. And I think of that picture when I think of the photographs that are now being taken by the Republican Party and George W. Bush and Tom DeLay. They're saying, and I quote, and these are not Democratic words, these are Republican words. They're saying that they don't want his stain on them. Ooh, ouch, ooh, baby, ooh, ooh, ooh. That must have hurt. Although he was forced to relinquish his leadership post September 28th, after first of two indictments, he continues to use an office in the leadership suite. Separation anxiety. He occasionally presides over private meetings with committee men and committee chairmen and lobbies members during key floor votes. Separation anxiety. He also has his staff, continues to maintain the House schedule and dash off memos to lawmakers. Separation anxiety. And when he came to Houston for his indictment court hearing, he wasn't in an orange jumpsuit. He was in a three-piece suit, and he was accompanied by three bodyguards from Capitol Hill, just as he was when he was majority leader. And here's what one Republican said, in whispered tones, no doubt. My issue is having an indicted former leader hanging around the leadership office. Well, kick his behind out. Give him the boot. Give him the hammer. Do something. The whispered House Republican who was speaking on the condition of anonymity. This guy did so much good work in getting us into the majority. Why does he want to stick around? He's not helping us. Whoo! 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Separation anxiety. Poor baby. It's time to let go of your mama's leg. Be a grown up. What did they say? Well, you said your baby. Be a big man now. Be a big man. Woo! Lord have mercy. You can go play with Scooter over there in the playground sandbox. Go on over there with Scooter, baby. Let go of your mama's leg. Go over there and play in the indictment box. Oh, my name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. It's supposed to be up to 80 degrees today, but there's no such thing as global warming. I'll be back at 7. Stay with me.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I
understand? Well, the hard truth is that not everyone.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Deirdre Bryant. The European Commission says it will investigate reports that the CIA has set up secret prisons in Eastern European countries. ABC's Tom Rivers is at the Foreign Desk in London.
Such prisons would violate European Union human rights laws, and the investigation here will begin with the informal questioning of representatives from all 25 European member states. An EU spokesman says the focus is to determine what exactly is happening out there, and if confirmed, to take appropriate legal action.
A first court appearance this morning for Louis Libby. Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff is expected to plead not guilty to charges of lying in the CIA leak investigation. More on the impact this might have on the Bush administration from ABC's Jim Hickey.
Deirdre, it'll be a brief court appearance, but the impact is far-reaching. A former high-ranking member of the Bush White House up on charges of perjury, obstruction of justice, and making false statements to a grand jury. If Scooter Libby goes to trial, it'll be a major political headache for the administration, especially because Democrats are trying to tie this case to faulty intelligence leading to the Iraq War. Deirdre?
The Washington Post is reporting some White House aides think President Bush won't be able to move beyond the CIA leak unless Karl Rove resigns. He could still face charges in the case. President Bush has left for a two-day economic summit. Thousands of anti-American demonstrators have been protesting in the streets of Mar del Plata, where the heads of state will gather. Last night, it was party time at the White House, a lavish black-tie dinner for Britain's Prince Charles and his new bride.
Your Royal Highness, it is a great honor for Laura and me to host you and Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cornwall at the White House.
The royal couple will visit the National Institutes of Health today, where the Duchess will speak on bone health. It's opening day for the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, and the musicians are on strike. It's not known if the Rockettes will go on with recorded music. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
We're talking with Felicia Stoller, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and the mother of two growing children.
Like all parents, it's hard getting my kids to drink milk. And now, the USDA recommends 3 dairy servings a day for kids over 8 to increase calcium intake, so it's even more important to drink milk. Since flavored milk makes it taste better, I compared the nutrition-enriched chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder. Ovaltine has a lot more vitamins and minerals than Nesquik. You don't have to be a nutritionist to know, rich chocolate Ovaltine makes milk better.
More Ovaltine, please!
All right, guys, listen up. This happens to be Men Make Dinner Day. Reporter Tammy Rose in Phoenix has the scoop.
In case you didn't know, guys, the holiday falls on the first Thursday of every November.
I don't know. Who made it up?
I'm not exactly sure, but probably a woman.
Can I use the George Foreman grill?
Sorry, guys, not according to the official rule book. But owner and chef Addie Matney says, don't fret.
So do it in the oven. You can pan sear something, put a little olive oil seasoning on like a filet.
And ladies, if you don't like what your better half made you, the chef says put lots of ketchup on it and smile. Tammy Rose, ABC News, Phoenix.
The makers of Taser stun guns have come out with a weapon they say is ideal for those of us who go to work at odd hours, the consumer-oriented X26 Taser. They'll be registered to the buyer. When fired, it releases confetti-like paper bearing the weapon's serial number to deter criminal use. The cost, about $1,000. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the search continues for the man accused of assaulting a Hazelwood police officer. Hazelwood Police Captain Greg Hall says 28-year-old Raymond Cortez Dixon attacked Officer Brian Hale during a routine traffic stop late Tuesday night. Hall says Officer Hale remains hospitalized in serious but stable condition, and the full extent of his injuries will not be known until the swelling in his face subsides. Officer Hale's injuries are complicated by previous injuries from 1998 when he was shot in the face in the line of duty. The suspect is described as a black male, 6 feet tall and 170 pounds, with closely cropped hair. Anyone with information is asked to call the Hazelwood Police at 314-838-5000. A Eureka High School language arts teacher is being recognized for his teaching abilities. 30-year-old Andy Gensler yesterday received one of 100 National Educator Awards from the Milken Family Foundation. He's also the Rockwood School District's Teacher of the Year. The Missouri Hospital Association's annual convention continues today at the Lake of the Ozarks. This morning's keynote speaker is former Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson, who will speak on innovations in healthcare. Mary Becker, the senior vice president of the Missouri Hospital Association, says the theme of the convention is Information, Inspiration, Innovation, Making the Connection.
Patients need to have, we have a lot of data and details out there, but really how do you put it all together and use it to make good decisions about healthcare?
More than 1,500 hospital representatives are attending the convention, which concludes tomorrow. In addition to the lineup of speakers, including Thompson, the convention features nearly 200 booths demonstrating new healthcare innovations. Finally this hour, the Rams have their place kicker under contract for at least 4 more years. Jeff Wilkins has agreed to a 4-year extension with the team after signing the contract yesterday. Wilkins, who is 33 years old and in his 12th year, will most likely finish his career with the Rams after arriving in St. Louis as a free agent in 1997. Wilkins is 11 of 13 on field goals and is perfect on all 23-point after attempts this year. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift. International Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge. All roadways are reopened after an earlier stall is cleared. There's also an accident on the shoulder at Route 3. Traffic is back up near Route 203 this hour. Northbound 55 between 270 and 4500 South Broadway, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270 is on the move. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Mason, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs and Blanchette, looks good. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, heavy volume this morning in your 7 o'clock hour. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 370 at 270, there's road construction. The right lane is closed and traffic is slowing onto the ramp from southbound 270. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley Road, heavy volume. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Cleves Landing, everything is moving steady. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB you can expect slow traffic on that ramp. Route 141 at Fieldwood Lane, there's a report of an accident. Southbound 67 between 110 and JJ, there's road maintenance operations. One lane will be closed. And in both directions, 141 between Bowles and Gravois, look for road maintenance operations. That'll have one lane closed as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly from Fort Myers, Naples, from St. Louis on one of Southwest's three daily new flights. Whether you're flying business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Sunny skies today, windy with a high near 80 for this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Friday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-50s. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers. The high will only be around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 56 in clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Katrina disaster highlighted all types of weakness in our society. We'll look at one of them Monday morning at 7. The Red Cross Charter says its purpose is to carry out relief in times of peace and mitigate suffering during major calamities. But who do they help? In 1927, a flood decimated roughly the same area of the South. The Red Cross came in and gave food to whites first, then blacks got anything left over. In World War II, the donated blood of blacks and whites was segregated. In the 80s, the Red Cross opposed national testing of blood for HIV, citing financial costs. After 9/11, it raised $540 million, but less than half that amount actually went to victims or their families. And this year, after Katrina, it got kicked out of an Atlanta relief center because of ungodly slow processing and false promises of financial payments. After raising $1 billion in pledges, the Red Cross is getting reimbursed for expenses by FEMA. A bait-and-switch charity? We'll take a closer look Monday morning at 7 with Counterpunch journalist Joe Allen on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how to listen. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how to listen.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell
Good morning, and welcome back. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much. Did I say much, much to talk about? Oh, yeah. We have stuff to talk about. Oh, yeah. We have stuff to talk about. Huh. And if you want to listen to my show live on the World Wide Web, turn your computer on. Boot it up. Boot it up and get to www.wgnu.net. And if you missed a show, go get it at whiterosesociety.org. That's right, whiterosesociety.org. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Huh. Hmm. Do we have some stuff to worry about? I think we do. I think we do. And I'm going to share some of that with you, but first let me get to a caller or two. Susie.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best.
All right, now.
All right. Wanted to share my crisis with housing. What I'm going through is the inspector from City Hall and Management Corporation that's supposed to be handling my personal business for my housing to occupy 9 people. My occupancy permit is only for 5 people. I've been living in this house for a year, going on 2 years. I have to move before the 13th of this month. I'm asking anybody who has 4-bedroom Section 8 housing if they will call me at 762-0679, and please leave me a detailed voicemail.
All right. Thanks.
Today I will be picking up my voucher for the Section 8 property that I need within the next 10 days. I'm in supposedly a 4-bedroom house. That's a lot of stuff to move. You know, before I moved here, I was homeless because of eminent domain. And I really need some help. I'm a volunteer in this community. Been a volunteer for 8 years. Volunteer with all kind of organizations. I'm asking for help. I have solutions for my problems, but just don't have the income. Anybody who would like to invest, please call me.
Give your number one more time, Susie.
762-0679.
All right. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, beloved.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't know. I marvel sometimes when I think about it at the ability, or maybe it's just habit. Maybe I shouldn't be marveling at all. Maybe it's just habit. You know, we all have bad habits, and sometimes we are loath to break them, to deal with them, whatever. But this administration continues to do things that, dare I say it, that normal people don't continue to do. When you're busted as hard as these people are, Have you, when you've been exposed as much as these people are, one would think that you would try to slow your roll, not On Monday, Dick Cheney appointed his legal counsel, David Addington, to be new chief of staff. Oh, by the by, Addington is mentioned in in the indictment of Scooter Libby, but that didn't slow Dick Cheney's roll. Indeed, Addington once wrote, "The war on terrorism rendered the Geneva Conventions obsolete." Are you feeling me? It's like we went from the frying pan into the depths of hell. Skipped the fire altogether. Went straight to hell. The man that Dick Cheney promoted over Scooter is an attorney. I guess he got his degree from Purgatory U. An attorney that wrote that the war on terrorism has rendered the Geneva Conventions obsolete. Is this one of those times, like, kind of like people have bumper stickers out there that say, you know, I miss Tricky Dick? Are we going to be saying I miss Scooter? You know, with these guys that Dick Cheney has promoted? Jesus God. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Car phone.
Good morning.
Steve, good morning.
You know, there's a commercial that runs on this station throughout the day called Operation Truth. We were there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this morning I caught this interview with Seymour Hersh and Scott Ritter, the chief weapons inspector.
Oh, and Scott Ritter's going to be on the show in about a couple weeks.
You know what? I'll tell you what. That's the guy that they ought to bring up in front of Congress to get this straightened out.
That's right.
You know, this guy flatly and adamantly stands by the facts that there were no weapons over there, that Saddam Hussein by 1995 had destroyed those weapons, and there's not an intelligence division in the world that didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when they start talking about Operation Truth, we were there. Well, so was Scott Ritter.
Mm.
And incidentally, they're going to quote Richard Butler, who by all accounts was a CIA plant itself, working for the CIA over there. But that's just what I wanted to bring to people's attention, to keep their eye out for Scott Ritter, because I think that if anything out there, this guy is the most credible.
And like I said, he's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be
Looking forward to it, too.
All right. Thank you,
Steve.
Thank
you very much. 454-0400
is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. That's right. Addington, David Addington, was one of Dick Cheney's closest aides. David Addington worked under Lewis Libby, Scooter. But David Addington was the counsel to Dick Cheney. And he and Dick Cheney became friends when Dick Cheney was in the House of Representatives in the 80s. And Addington had been the councilman to the committee. They got to know each other. Dick Cheney then became the Secretary of Defense during Bush 1. Addington came over not only as counsel to Cheney, but also a special assistant. So the relationship between them is very close. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. They share the same political philosophy that everything is secret and we don't have the right to know jack. Car phone, you're on a wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Okay, my question, well, I guess, what makes you believe that the people are even fear or they even care anymore about the fact that there were no weapons.
Which people are we talking about? Which people?
The American people, basically. And the reason I say that is because it's like we're immune to the fact that there were no weapons, but now they're doing so much violence over there. It's like they've it's the propaganda to me that they believe that we see. It's like propaganda. They got us believing that all of this war over there and all this fighting and all of this all the car bombs and so forth. They're coming to get us. So it's like we're immune to the fact that there were no weapons, and it's like the people are not angry about it anymore to me.
Well, here's and I have felt that at times throughout the years of this stolen presidency.
Right.
But I am evolving away from that, and let me give you some of the reasons why I'm evolving away from that. There have been some polls that have been taken. One poll in particular was taken asking the American people, if George Bush lied about the weapons of mass destruction, should he be impeached? The majority of people that were in the poll said, yes, he should be impeached. The people were also asked, do you believe that he lied about it? The majority of the people believed that he would lie. Now, that's significant, and what's even more significant in my mind is the fact that the other polling companies, that people that polled everybody and their brother about Bill Clinton and impeachment, have refused to poll the American people. They've been asked numerous times. They have refused to poll the American people about asking them that specific question about whether or not George Bush should be impeached. Why do you suppose that they are refusing to do that? Because of what the answer would be and where it would take this government. If it was reported on the news as frequently as we heard about Monica Lewinsky's nasty dress, if it was reported on the news as much as that the American people, that the majority of the American people believe that George Bush should be impeached, things would be happening differently. I think it does matter to a lot of people. I think it took too long for people to get it, to pay attention to it. I think that 9/11 pushed a lot of people into a place I've never been, this whole super patriot, I'm going to protect my country, let's go kill them type of place. I think it pushed a lot of people that were inclined to be that way into that way. I think that 9/11 scared a lot of people, and I think that the only thing, caller, that is shaking people out of their fear, and this is a shameful thing, and maybe this gets to some of the stuff that you're saying too. I think that the things that have shaken people out of their fear is not because tens of thousands of Iraqi people have died. It's not because thousands of us have died entirely. I think that high gas prices. I think that that poor job, people not being able to get jobs. I think that so many people needing to be bankrupt. I think that the healthcare system, all of those things are forming together to get people to feel their lives, that their lives are not going so good, so they're open to feeling other kinds of pain. I think that's one of the reasons why we are headed in the direction that we're headed right now. I think that people will begin to, more and more people will begin to articulate, you know, you a dang lie. You a dang lie, and it matters that you are a lie. But it took us an awful long and an awful ugly and an awful, awful, awful trail to get to this place of acknowledgement from a lot of Americans.
I saw a young man in a department store. I won't name the department store, but I saw him, and he was a lady was helping him in the store, and he said, "Hey, lady, come on, I got to get out of here because I got to get back over to the desert because I've been in the desert for 6 weeks." And I heard him say that, and I went up behind him. I said, "You've been over in Iraq?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, be careful over there." He said, "Well, I'm not over there because I have to be. I'm over there because I'm a contractor." I said, "Well, be careful anyhow. I think you need to be." He said, "Yeah, because it's a lot worse than they're reporting to you all on the news."
See,
it's even worse over there than what they show us.
You know, and do you believe that for one New York second, for one lousy second, that only 2,000 Americans have died in this war? Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe it.
I don't believe that either. And they lie to us all the time.
Well, my last question is this. Do you believe that the Alito nomination was actually his second pick? I believe Myers was up there for the manipulation part of it, she was not his initial pick. Alito was. But he knew that they were going to actually come after her.
Oh, I disagree with that completely because
I don't believe that you would put someone with the credentials that she had.
But what,
I believe it was total manipulation.
But
to put the person that he really wanted to go up there was Alito in the end.
Well, then let me ask you. Let me ask you this. If the question is whether or not George Bush would put somebody unqualified into a position, remember Michael Brown. And he defended Michael Brown, and he's never criticized Michael Brown. The fact that George W. Bush, it was the governor of Texas, and he had no credentials to do that. He did. George Bush is the poster child of believing that anybody can have any job that they want to, regardless of their qualifications.
Because he was selected, right?
Exactly right. So I believe because George Bush, remember, George Bush doesn't like to apologize for anything and doesn't.
He won't do that,
and he always wants his way. It was a shock and a stunning thing to him that Harriet Myers didn't get this gig. He would not set himself up to be criticized by Republicans. He wouldn't set himself up to be criticized by his base. Retreat and saying I'm sorry and having to do a do-over ain't in his game plan or his mentality or his personality. No, that was he didn't expect to lose that.
Well, in that case, they selected the right man for the job.
We will see if they select because understand that strategically where the Republican Party needs to be right now, they need to be in a place to renew their base, and this pick allows their base to come together and to move as one and to get re-energized after the devastating blow of Harriet Myers. Do not underestimate how significant and how serious of a screw up the Harriet Myers thing was and how much it hurt his base.
Thank you, Liz.
All right, thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Much to talk about. They lie. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3, there's an accident on the left shoulder and traffic jams all the way back to 111. Northbound 270 at St. Charles Rock Road, there's an overturned vehicle. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic is backed up at 70. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and Potomac, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Mraz overpass is slow. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Mason, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way to 270 is flowing freely. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, expect heavy volume this hour. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, it is stop and go. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit that is closed due to maintenance operations, and it will reopen on Sunday morning. You can use 11th Street or 14th Street to get around those areas. Eastbound 40 at Ballast and McKnight, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to Mid Rivers Mall, you've got slow traffic in pockets. Southbound 270 between 370 and St. Charles Rock Road, there are vehicles slowing to take a look at an accident. Westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 between 25th and the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, it is slow. And northbound 141 at Fiedler, there's an accident reported, as well as West Florissant Avenue at Dunn, there's an injury accident reported. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Stop by Ashley Furniture Home Stores' grand opening event for great deals and no interest till 2009. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood, South County, and now in O'Fallon, Missouri. Stop by today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Sunny today, windy with a high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers with a high only around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 57 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 56 in clear skies as well. Stay tuned. More of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
St. John United Church of Christ at 2901 Namioke Road is holding a meat sale on Friday, November 4th from 8 to 5. Items for sale include pork sausage, bratwurst, blood sausage, liver sausage, bacon, and head cheese. Shop early for best selection. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Harriet Myers bows out. Judge Samuel Alito jumps in. Scooter Libby goes down for the count. There's so much happening, you need a scorecard to keep up. That's why Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress joins us Thursday morning at 9 to see if the Bush bus is swerving to the right or if it's already in the ditch. When will these issues cross paths? Find out Thursday morning here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Mildred, good morning.
Good morning. That figure of 2,000 dead, how can it stop at 2,000 and they're getting killed every day? Now, I read in the Post-Dispatch on Sunday, it was not a big article. It was not headline news. And I'm going to go and research my papers because I saved them for a while. There is a report that there are 16,000 dead. I didn't believe it, so I kept reading the paragraph over and over again. I said, 16,000? Maybe they mean injured. No, it said 16,000 American soldiers dead. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, Sandy, good morning.
Good morning. To Mildred's point, I think if you will remember, the Defense Department said that they weren't going to count the people who came back and died. you know, the injured.
Mm-hmm.
They report them as injured, but when they come back and pass, they're not counted as the war dead.
Well, not only that, if they die on the helicopter off the field of Baghdad, off the field of Iraq, on the way to the hospital and die, they're not counted.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's how come there's this disparity in numbers. It's like this administration always plays games with the numbers.
They lie about the numbers.
Right. Right now they're bragging about a 3.8 GDP. Well, yeah, I guess it would. After the hurricanes, people have to buy to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that correct?
Yes, they do.
But they never give that explanation. They act like it's Bushonomics.
Mm.
But what I had really called about was when the lady called prior to Mildred. I am totally disgusted with the American people. All this information was known prior to the war. Scott Ritter came out months before with his statements, and he was blown off. And they keep saying, well, President Clinton said that they was WND. He did not say that. When he was on David Letterman on September the 11th, 02, Letterman asked him, do you think that there's WNDs? He says, I don't know. He said, we took the inspectors out in 98. We bombed the places that the CIA and intelligence had said there could possibly be.
Aspirin factory.
But he said, we don't know because we haven't had the inspectors back in. And he said, let the inspectors do their job. That's what everybody was saying. But this administration knew that they couldn't wait because they knew the inspectors were going to come back and say there's no WMD. So they had to preempt it.
Absolutely.
And the American people bought it. I remember so well, and if you go back through your tapes, people would call in and point these things out, and other people would immediately call in and say that they were unpatriotic, they were traitors, you know.
Well, no, I remember on this show that wasn't the sentiment. The sentiment was, in fact, I know that after we invaded, after 9/11 and after that war, that I got just completely different kinds of hate mail. Completely different types, and some of the most vicious hate mail that I've received since I've been on the air during that time. People were fake patriotism is a scary, scary thing.
That's exactly right.
Because people just absolutely lose their mind and have no desire to have any kind of acquaintance with the truth, with the facts, or the value of anybody else's life but their own.
That's right.
It's awful.
It was terrible, and now my disgust is so deep that I just don't, these people who say now that they want to investigate, like the news media and Congress, you had your chance. You know, you had your chance to do that prior to all these deaths.
Well, in all fairness, there have been some Congress people out there that have been demanding investigations from the get-go.
And right, and what happened to them?
Well, one of them lost their jobs. McKinney lost her job.
Exactly.
Cynthia McKinney lost it. But John Conyers has been asking for investigations. Brenda Lee has been asking, Barbara Lee has been asking for investigations as well. There have been some that have been asking for it. But by and large, far too many have stood silent, or even, here's the thing, I'm not impressed with any United States senator, any Democrat that has said, I voted against the war, but if you voted for all of these spending packages, what good are you?
That's right.
What good are you? If you want to, as our guest yesterday said, if you want to kill the war, then stop paying for it. That's how we killed Vietnam. Stop paying for it.
They could have done that in the beginning.
Yes, they could have.
They could have said, we're not going to pay a dime until we know if there's weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going to,
at the time, if you remember, they were saying, oh, we have to get the men and women out of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that,
mm-hmm.
Big canard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Congress could have said, we're going to let them stay in the desert. We're going to give them everything they need to make them comfortable before we send them in to be slaughtered. But
there
they didn't do that, did
no,
they?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
So in my opinion, the American people, the American government, the American news media had their chance, and they didn't do a thing.
Thanks for your call, Sandy.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone.
Hey, Liz?
Yes.
I just heard some breaking news here, and I don't know if you know about it yet. Did you know that the New Orleans schools called in some outside consultants to help them out?
I know that Alvarez and Marcel are in there. I know, in fact, I was in the Times-Picayune, and they called me to talk about that down in New Orleans.
Yeah, and Bill Roberti is leading the pack.
Bill Roberti is leading the pack, and guess what they've done? They've canceled school for the entire year.
Oh.
That George Bush is saying, if you change your schools into a charter school, I will give you an additional $2,000 per student.
Uh-huh.
They've also tried, they are trying to change all of the schools in New Orleans into charter schools. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Roberti called it a blessing. Katrina uh-huh. was a blessing that uh-huh. it destroyed the school system.
Yeah, he'll really straighten things up down there. Right?
Well, you know, we've lost accreditation. So yeah, mm-hmm. Katrina.
I heard how much the scores went down from the time you know, before he took over to, you know, the present, and it was about a third drop, I think, about a 33% drop. In
every
score.
Single year we yep. we are about 13 or 14 points away from where we were when we had Cleveland Hammonds.
Mm-hmm.
And we were only a couple points away from full accreditation. We are provisionally, and then they've lied about about the dropout rate. They've said that there were no dropouts in Maida P. Washington High School. That's the high school for pregnant girls. That there were no dropouts. They said in Vashon, Vashon went from 222 dropouts the year before last to 32 dropouts. You believe that?
All in how you count it. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Were you talking earlier anything about the votes that were stolen in Ohio?
No, I was not.
There's a Government Accounting Office GAO report that I was reading online about, or at least a summary of that report detailing all the shenanigans that went on there. And I think I accessed through Infowars.com.
Okay.
In relation, you may want to look that up. It's just amazing what went on there.
Thank you, George.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. We have much to do. We have much to tend to. Let's get with it. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Riyadh. The government of Saudi Arabia has announced a new plan that will send over 10,000 Saudi students to study here in America at universities. The number of Saudi, Muslim, and Arab students coming to the U.S. each year has been in decline since the September 11th terrorist attacks. The program helps the students by providing money guarantees and a recommendation for a visa to the U.S. Embassy. Right now, there are 15,000 Saudi students who want to apply for Bachelor of Arts degrees at American schools. And Dateline Washington. The Washington Post is reporting that Walmart got major concessions from the federal government's Labor Department when it settled charges of child labor violations last year. A labor inspector describes the agreement as quite different from other such agreements in the fact that it has a number of restrictions included that prevents the wage and hour division from conducting further investigations and imposing fines. The complaint alleged that 85 minors were allowed to operate hazardous equipment at Walmart stores in Connecticut, New Hampshire, and Arkansas from 1998 to April of 2002. The world's largest retailer, which reported a profit last year of $10 billion, agreed to pay a fine of $135,000 to settle the issue. One of the quirks of the settlement is that the government has to tell Walmart 15 days ahead of time that it may be looking into any aspects pertaining to this case at any store in question. But Walmart can avoid any penalties if it cleans up those allegations within 10 days of notice. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. When you're out driving, ever feel threatened by those big rigs? You have good reason. A major cause of tractor-trailer accidents is due to drivers overly tired and falling asleep behind the wheel. But still, the trucking industry has convinced Congress to allow operators to stay behind the wheel for up to 11 straight hours at a time. Find out which states are the most deadly for these rolling time bombs. Join Jeff Burns of Citizens for Reliable and Safe Highways for a chilling look at big rig safety, Friday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend. It's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon.
On Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service free of charge, so sign up today and begin easing the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. For a list of potential carpool or vanpool partners from Ride Finders free ride matching service, log on to www.ridefinders.org or call toll-free 800-VIP-RIDE.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, where else, where else, where else are you going to get great deals and not have to spend an entire tank of gas to get there? Sears, we're talking about stoves, refrigerators, treadmills, television, big screen television, small screen televisions, wonderful, wonderful dishwashers, wonderful, wonderful tools. It's a full service, everything you need, Sears, right here in your own neighborhood at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, it doesn't get any better than this. Sears, black owned, black operated. You're building a house? You need appliances? Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Sears, get your shop on and tell them I told you.
Harriet Myers bows out. Judge Samuel Alito jumps in. Scooter Libby goes down for the count. There's so much happening, you need a scorecard to keep up. That's why Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress joins us Thursday morning at 9 to see if the Bush bus is swerving to the right or if it's already in the ditch. When will these issues cross paths? Find out Thursday morning here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes, good morning.
Two subjects here. You know, you said this is the guy that blew up frogs with firecrackers.
George W. Bush, well, yes.
I wish, if you get a chance, to take a look when he made that statement, I'm a war president.
Mm.
He got a little hop. Mm-hmm. He said that, and his eyes were really wild looking.
Mm.
You know, what kind of a statement is that? How many? I never heard of a president ever making that statement. I'm a war president.
Well, I don't know of any human being saying I'm a war person outside of people. I mean, these are people that you walk wide around. These
yes.
are people that you don't, you know, you don't invite to parties. These are people that you look one or two or three or four times at an individual that would describe themselves as a war individual.
You would be depressed if you had to be a war president. You wouldn't be gleeful. Now I get to blow up people. Wow, what fun. But listen, this is not what I called about, really. We say about our casualties. The other day we dropped a bomb, I understand, and it killed a lot of women and children. These people over there are human beings, too.
Yes, they are.
Now, this is the thing that I don't hear American people talking about. We are killing human beings over there that have nothing to do with Al-Qaeda or blowing up our towers. These are women and children.
Men, women, and children.
Men, women, and children.
Innocent men, women, and children.
It just happened to be citizens
mm-hmm.
of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking a lot of them out, and you don't hear no numbers about that.
And I think that to help people understand this, because Americans are such isolationists in their history, in their worldview, in their understanding of anybody. They don't even understand the people that live in Texas, let alone the people that live in Iraq. But just think of it this way. How would you respond to a person that came to your country for whatever reason, let's say that it was a good thing too, I don't know, to get rid of a despot. Somebody came to our country to get, and I'm not naming any names, but I'm sure everybody can think of a despot or two that somebody should come, and a lot of people would think that somebody should come and drop a bomb on. So suppose they came to the United States for that reason. How would Americans feel if our supposed saviors from a despot drop bombs on Nantucket because they thought that there might be somebody from the insurgency in Nantucket? People would be very up, and they killed hundreds of vacationing men, women, and children looking for a person that they never found. How would Americans feel about a country that did that to them? They would have no tolerance for that.
Now, that's supposed to be our super intelligence, too, right?
Mm.
That got this information and just went and threw a bomb on those people.
That's exactly right.
Now, do these people not bleed, too?
Yep, and they died, too.
Just because they don't speak your language or they're not your religion doesn't mean they don't hurt. They're human.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. The CIA has been hiding and interrogating allegedly Al-Qaeda captives in a Soviet compound. It's part of a covert prison system set up by the CIA 4 years ago. Huh. How you feel about that? Your good government having prison camps and what's that Russian word? Begins with a G. Oh, yeah, gulag. I remember how this administration lost its mind over the gulag assessment by Amnesty International. What would a secret prison in a Soviet be? Help me. I mean, I don't know everything, but what would a secret prison in the Soviet Union be but a gulag? Isn't that the definition of a gulag? Only this time it's run by USA! USA! You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, how you doing?
Andre, good morning.
You know, this whole thing would be comical if it weren't so stupid and the way they expect us to be so stupid. They are talking about how it just couldn't possibly be that we would have these secret prisons, that we would be spiriting people away. Well, what about all the people who have gone into jails in Missouri and other states and ended up in Texas, Oklahoma, Arizona? Their family members are thinking they're in Potosi, and you find out later on they're someplace in Texas.
Where do you think prisoners that were stuck in jails, died in jails in New Orleans, where they are?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Yeah, you're not hearing anything about that. All those prisoners out there on that bridge?
Mm.
So, of course this is happening. The only thing that should be surprising to anybody about it is that it hasn't been uncovered before now.
Mm. Thanks for your call, Andre.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. John.
Hello.
Yes, quickly, please.
Oh, Liz, can you tell me what was taking place in the First War, a special election I'm not aware of?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
All over the world, Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember this? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. European officials are looking into reports that the CIA has set up secret prisons overseas. ABC's Bill Greenwood has more.
The European Commission says such prisons may violate human rights laws, but U.S. officials won't admit there are such facilities. The Washington Post reported the CIA set up the secret prisons nearly 4 years ago to hide and interrogate top al-Qaeda suspects. The prisons are reportedly located in 8 countries, including Afghanistan and several Eastern European nations.
Officials in Pakistan say an al-Qaeda suspect has been killed in a shootout and 2 others have been arrested. One is believed to have ties to the 9/11 attacks and the Madrid bombings. Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, Louis Libby, goes to court this morning. He's facing a 5-count indictment in the CIA leak investigation. ABC's Jonathan Carl is at U.S. District Court in Washington.
The judge who will be handling the case is a Republican appointee with a reputation for toughness. Judge Reggie Walton is known as Long Ball Walton because he has a tendency to hand out the longest prison sentences possible.
If found guilty, Libby would face a maximum penalty of 30 years in prison and a fine of more than $1 million. President Bush is on his way to Argentina, and there may not be a warm reception.
It's an 11-hour flight to one of the more difficult summits President Bush attends. In Latin America, his proposal for a giant free trade agreement is stalled. Some other nations, led by Venezuela's President Chavez, blame Mr. Bush for not doing enough for Latin American poverty and unemployment. And thousands of protesters are gathering in Mar del Plata, Argentina. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
In just a few hours, the Radio City Musical Spectacular opens in New York City. It turns out the show will go on. Musicians went on strike yesterday, but now say they'll perform without a contract. A preview was canceled last night, disappointing ticket holders. This is ABC News.
Okay, top 3 reasons I'm sprucing up my home for the holidays. Number 3, my guest bathroom is no place for a guest. Number 2, I don't want to just welcome visitors, I want to wow them. And the number 1 reason, I can buy and get compliments now, but pay later.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing on purchases throughout the store. Only at the Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. Offer valid through 11605 in U.S. only. See store for details.
With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
President Bush was up a little later than usual last night, hosting a black tie dinner for Britain's Prince Charles and his new wife, the Duchess of Cornwall. ABC's Sonia Crawford reports on what's ahead for today.
Americans will witness a rare sight today, Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, giving a public speech. She'll deliver an address at the National Institutes of Health on better bone health. Her mother and grandmother suffered from osteoporosis. Last night, the Bushes threw the royal newlyweds a party. The First Lady was resplendent in red. Camilla beamed in blue.
The royals will also visit the National Building Museum today and attend a seminar on religious faith at Georgetown University. A bit of a media storm in Italy today. The leading Catholic publication, Famiglia Cristiana, came out with its first ever photograph of a naked woman. It was part of an ad for a bathroom ventilation system. A spokesman says they approved the ad, counting on the maturity of their readers. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the deputy mayor of Kirkwood is facing drug charges. Thomas Noonan is free on bond after being arrested Tuesday night on charges of possession and attempted possession of a controlled substance. A second suspect in the case, 42-year-old Deborah Lloyd of Imperial, is charged with possession and distribution of a controlled substance. Parents, teachers, students, and other members of the St. Louis Public Schools community will meet tonight to discuss the violence at the district's high schools. A public meeting is set for 6:30 tonight at Bashan High School. Superintendent Craig Williams says the meeting will address the recent problems at Bashan and the problems at high schools throughout the district.
We have 9 high schools in the city of St. Louis, and at 3 of those high schools we've had some incidents of violence, particularly at Roosevelt, at Bashan, at Beaumont, in that order. And we need the community to help us to resolve some of the issues that exist at those schools.
Several Bashan students are facing expulsion after a fight at the school last week. Williams says he will present a plan tonight to deal with the violence in the schools. Senator Jim Talent is trying to find ways to help solve the energy crisis in the U.S. The Missouri Republican yesterday took to the floor his proposal in support of oil exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Talent says the ANWR covers nearly 20 million acres, 17 million acres of which are currently off-limits to any kind of development. Talent says only 2,000 acres are actually needed for oil exploration. Finally this hour, Jim Edmonds is the only Cardinal this year to receive a Gold Glove. The Redbird center fielder won the 8th Gold Glove of his career yesterday and his 6th in 6 seasons with the Cardinals. Edmonds joins Philadelphia's Bobby Abreu and Atlanta's Andrew Jones as the National League outfielders who were honored with the distinction this year. This is the first time in 5 seasons that only one Cardinal has received a Gold Glove, and the 6th straight season at least one Redbird has won the award. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and is closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by JCPenney. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge, disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked and traffic jams at 203. Westbound 5570 at the King Bridge split. There's an accident partially blocking the right ramp to the King Bridge. Traffic jams at 203 there as well. Westbound 44 between Lewis and 109. Look for bridge maintenance operations having one lane closed. Northbound 55 between Potomac and Arsenal. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way into Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for that traffic easing. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall and the Blanchett Bridge. Look for no problems there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Look for very heavy volume in your 8 a.m. commute. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry all the way into 44. It is stop and go. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic. And westbound 64 between 25th and the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way into Cleese Landing. Very heavy volume on Kingbridge this morning. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramp to the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. McClay at Horstmeyer. Look for an injury accident. That's in St. Peter's. Westbound St. Charles Rock Road at Cypress. There is work and the right turn lane is closed this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney. It's the JCPenney biggest sale of the year this Friday and Saturday. Everything's on sale, no exceptions. Saturday, shop 6 a.m. till 11 p.m. It's all inside JCPenney. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, sunny skies, windy with a high near 80 this evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-70s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, a chance for showers with a high only around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 59 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 58. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Whoa, Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, you can check out the website at lizbrown.com. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. I know that a lot of you in St. Louis have received your little election cards through your door or in the mail, in your mailboxes, that we have an election coming up next week. But that's not the only election going on. My guest this morning, Mr. Alvin Brown, is Alvin V. Brown, is here to talk about the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. Alvin, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Liz.
It's good to have you here. Let's bring people up to speed.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. What is that?
Okay. Well, basically, the Provisional Government, Republic of New Africa, was founded in 1968 when approximately over 500 black nationalists got together in Detroit and signed a Declaration of Independence, declaring themselves free and independent from the United States jurisdiction. One of the first signer of that Declaration of Independence was Queen Mother Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, right now, there's a few people still alive and active in this provisional government, like Dr. Obadeli, Curator Tabisha Rashid, John Taylor, General Chiwenat, who were original signers back then. But they signed that declaration at a time when we were at a time of really revolution and change in the country, and set up at that time a group of government people who were assigned then to not only go about writing a new constitution, mm-hmm. and laws that people would govern our people. The first president at that time was Robert Williams, who at the time was in exile.
Mm-hmm.
So he lasted for about a year until he came back to the country and was, you know, faced with investigations from the Senate and that. So 1969 and early 70, Imari Obadeli became the first president of the Republic of New Africa, provisional government. The government was formed to follow the aims of the Constitution and the Revolution, which was, as we always say, greet everybody, free the land. Free the land means free the land as far as being sovereign,
mm-hmm.
a sovereign land, where we would have state power and recognition. And you can free the land by three means as far as recognized under the international court, international law. You can buy land.
Mm-hmm.
You can take land by seizure or by force. Or you can occupy the land for generations, work the land, clear it, and then make claim to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, in 1968-69, the Republic of New Africa decided to designate the five southern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina, which was in the Black Belt, as the area known as the Republic of New Africa. They did this because black people have lived on and still live in majority numbers on these in these states. They've lived there for 100, 200, 300 years, 200 years. They've worked to clear the land. They've fought to stay on it. They've been terrorized off of it,
mm-hmm.
Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we went about wanting to hold a peaceful plebiscite, a people's vote, and this was what was afforded to the people like Iraq, where the people, once the former slaves had been freed with the 13th Amendment, in between that 13th and that 14th Amendment, the ex-slave was never offered the opportunity to choose at least one of three choices, mm-hmm. either to repatriate to Africa or some other country, either to have a own sovereign nation here in the United States or somewhere else in the Western Hemisphere, or to be a citizen of the United States. The 14th Amendment was legislated, but because we weren't asked, did not give up that right, that human right, to self-determination, to declare what you want. So that's where the provisional government picked up that mantle, following the doctrine of Malcolm, taking your case to the international court, and make your wishes known as far as what form of government you want. We will call ourselves New Africans, African in a new place, because we come from all over the continent of Africa, mixed with African genes, indigenous people's genes, European genes, over roughly from 1660 to 1865 when chattel slavery was ended, all suffered the same experience, culture, slavery, chattel slavery. And once freed, we didn't know where we came from, but we were still African mm-hmm. in a new place. And that's what the term New African comes from. All people who are descendants of Africa, whether they know it or not, are citizens of the Republic of New Africa. They have the right to declare their citizenship. They also have the right to say, I'm not a citizen. It's a matter of choice.
Well, what does it mean in practical terms? Do you pay taxes differently? What does it mean in practical terms? How is it different than being declaring yourself a citizen of the United States?
Well, it's not really different. It's almost like dual citizenship. Take like me. I pay taxes in the United States because we are here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a citizen by birthright.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't been asked. I haven't raised my hand like an immigrant mm-hmm. would do. I pay taxes mm-hmm. monthly on a regular basis to the Republic of New Africa. Mm-hmm. All governments they exist off of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, more citizens need to understand, because without economic base, there's very little you could do. This is one thing that we declared that we wanted from the United States was land and our reparations.
Mm-hmm.
So really the difference is there's really no difference. It's a matter of kind of operating as a dual citizen. You know, I participate when it's necessary, when I can affect change in the United States elections, and I participate in these elections.
What I'd like for you to do is to share with us, we get the understanding of the creation of the this nation. Talk to us about some of the principles.
Okay. Well, the principles, some of the founding principles is what I always like to, what I go by is the New African Creed.
Mm-hmm.
The New African Creed, again, there are many formations under what we now call the New African Independence Movement. It used to be called the Black Liberation Movement, several movements.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the organizations I even belong to, like the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. There's the New African People's Organization. There's the Black United Front, things like this. A New African has a creed which, you know, every New African, even though they're not in the provisional government, still recites the same creed, still tries to live their life according to the aims of the revolution, which is like, I think some of the most important one is, I believe in constant struggle for freedom,
mm-hmm.
to end oppression and to build a better world. I believe in collective struggle, in fashioning victory in concert with my brothers and sisters. And this is one reason why, like, I have belonged since 1994 to the coalition in COBRA, National mm-hmm. Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America. Some of the other things is, I will give my life if that is necessary. I will give my time, my mind, my strength, and my wealth, because that is necessary. I will keep myself clean of body. I will give. I will follow my chosen leaders and help them. You know. But the main thing is, I believe that all the land in America on which we live upon for a long time, which we have worked and built upon, and which we have fought to stay on, is land for us to use as a people. And saying that, we say that I believe in the Malcolm X doctrine, that I must organize upon this land, and this is the purpose of the provisional government, and hold a plebiscite to tell the world by a vote that we are free and the land independent, and that that after that vote, we must stand ready to defend ourselves, establishing a nation beyond contradictions. There are many people who read and know this creed. A new African should try their best to live this creed. That's the creed. We have a flag, which is basically the same red, black, and green that the Honorable Messiah Marcus Garvey farmed, but ours is in the order of green, red, and black, and the red being smaller than the green and the black, because we believe that there will be bloodshed, although it will be minimum, so that's why the red is smaller. Mm-hmm. And the green and the black were equal, and right now, in the order they are, the black is on the bottom, because that's where we are in the position in this world right now. But when we have won sovereignty, right now that flag is a flag in distress. It'll be turned right side up, and the black will be on top.
Now, you're an officer right now.
That's correct.
Tell us what your position is and what you're running for.
Okay, my position right now is, right now I'm finishing out my first term as a district rep. I was elected in 2002 here in St. Louis as the first district rep in St. Louis. District rep is the beginning stages of getting into the provisional government. Once I got into the provisional government as a district rep, at that first government meeting, I was selected and then voted to become the first vice chairperson, which is the chairperson is the person who runs the whole provisional People's Center Council. And the People's Center Council makes all laws, reviews all actions, can really override the president in any decisions that he makes. So I'm running to be reelected first as a district rep, because only district reps can vote in the government. I'm currently, since October the 1st, actually serving as the chair of the People's Center Council, because our chair, Sister Ialua Ferguson, had to step down because of health reasons. At the same time, I do still serve the president in his administration, in his cabinet. I am the Minister of Economic Development. This came about. I was also working with NCOBRA in the Economic Development Commission, chairing that. So December the 31st, I just decided to focus completely on the provisional government, move away from so many other things so that we could really get some things done. So I serve also as his cabinet, which is called the PRLC, People's Revolutionary Leadership Council, as one of the president's ministers. And also, the government formed a land fund, a 501c4, for building communities and everything related to it, these new communities that we have been pushing since 1968. And I'm the president of that 501c4 land corporation. So those are the positions that I actually serve in right now in the government.
Let me get to some of the callers here. Ex-Peter, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a comment to the question. One, I wonder if he could explain, you know, in the 3 years, 8 months between the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment, what was the status of the African that was here on the continent, and how did that reflect to their legal status today? And also, the position that you're taking, is that similar to like a Kuwait, and where, you know, Iraq didn't recognize Kuwait, but the world, Western world, came around in order to put Kuwait in a position that it's in today? So I imagine that the United States don't recognize the Republic of New Africa. So should the world come around to put you in a position of recognition? Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Free to land, Brother Piante. Very good question. The first question was, as far as I understand, what was our position between the 13th
what
and 14th?
What was our status? What was the legal status?
And one of the best examples that everybody can really relate to is really the movie The Amistad, which is history. When an African people, when a people have escaped captivity and are upon free land, upon free soil, they have the right to choose what form of government and where they want to live. Now, the Africans under the Amistad case, it took them several years first to get the case and to go to trial. And they had the trial, and once they weren't declared free, and it took them several years to get back to Africa, and they had to pay their own way. But we, once the 13th Amendment was ratified in 1865, we stood on this land as a free people. Free people. We couldn't have been forced or been held under the jurisdiction of the United States if we were free people. So roughly in that 2+ years between the 13th and the 14th Amendment, we should have had the opportunity to make an informed choice on what we, our status should be. Now, this were a people who were by laws and customs held ignorant. So therefore, you didn't have internet, you didn't have telephone, radio. So the process of getting this not only freedom, but also informed choice, so people could make a informed choice, was not availed to our people. So that right there, that's the choice that we're trying to exercise right now, is the choice of freedom. You know, and you can relate it right now to, like, Iraq, when their government, now the United States government in 1976, in the famous trial against the RNA 11, Dr. Obadiah at that time was claiming that he was the president of a foreign nation. And the court right underneath the Supreme Court ruled that we are a nation just like any, like the indigenous nations here in the United States and that, but we're not a foreign nation. And to this very day, they refuse to recognize us as a foreign nation. But we are trying right now, through means of first in the United Nations, trying to get observer status, just like the PLO, like the ANC, African National Congress, just like the Irish Republican Army, IRA. All of these groups had observer status in the United Nations, so that when people, like, even if they step up on the floor in of talking about the atrocities that Iraq committed against Kuwait or against the present government in Iraq, talks about what's happening right now, we would have an opportunity to step up forward and relate that to our people's problem in this country right here.
And we have to take a break. I am talking to Alvin Brown, and we're talking about the Republic of New Africa. My name is Liz Brown, and we're talking about the elections going on. When we come back, we will also be talking to Ishmael Thoff. He is a St. Louis activist specializing in strategic planning, and he is seeking an election as well. First timer, I believe. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of this conversation. We'll get to some of your calls as well. Stay with us.
To all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder of success.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Xantrex 3. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44. There's an injury accident and the right acceleration lane is blocked this hour. Westbound 44 between Lewis and 109. Look for bridge maintenance operations having one lane closed. Northbound 55 between Potomac and Arsenal. It is slow. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to the Merrimack River Bridge. It is slow as well. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs all the way to Blanchett Bridge. Everything's on the move. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. That traffic is easing. Eastbound 70 between K and 79. Look for that traffic to be easing as well. Eastbound 40 from Clayton Warson all the way to Hanley. Look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. You've got slow traffic as well. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. That traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. Westbound 5570 split from 64 on the PSB. Look for stop and go traffic. Westbound St. Charles Rock Road at Cypress. There's road construction. Right turn lane is closed this hour. And in both directions, 141 between Bowles and Gravois. Look for maintenance operations having one lane closed. North Big Bend at Dale, there's construction work in the right lane and in both directions. look for no problems to report on northbound or southbound 67 around JJ and St. Francis County line as they're doing some paving operations. One lane will be closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Xantrex 3, the most powerful diet pill in America. Xantrex 3, more weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Xantrex 3, yes, at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, sunny, windy, high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers. The high will only be around 70 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Harriet Myers bows out. Judge Samuel Alito jumps in. Scooter Libby goes down for the count. There's so much happening you need a scorecard to keep up. That's why Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress joins us Thursday morning at 9 to see if the Bush bus is swerving to the right or if it's already in the ditch. When will these issues cross paths? Find out Thursday morning here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come enjoy Inspecting Carol by Daniel Sullivan at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 517 Theater Lane in Webster, November 4th through 6th and 10th through the 13th. Shows are 8 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, call 962-0876. Inspecting Carol at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 962-0876.
Around the world, around the world, behind the story. And behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Wow!
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. And let me see. We are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. wakeupcall.net. And don't forget, if you've missed an hour of the Wake Up Call, shame on you, but you can go get one at whiterosesociety.org. Go get your hour. And we are talking this morning about the provisional government of the new Republic of New Africa. And we're talking about an election that's going on. Our guest this morning, Alvin Brown, and also Ishmael, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Very good.
And I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay. No, there's no such thing as late. You're here, and we need to talk about you're running for office also.
Yes, I am.
What office are you running for?
I'm running for district representative of the for the Republic of New Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what does that position entail? What do you do in that position?
Well, basically, what I'm going to be doing is similar to taking a pulse, like a doctor taking a pulse of what's happening in this region, mm-hmm. and reporting back to the provisional government down in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be looking at what's happening with our people in this region.
One of the things, as I look through your New African Journal, this is a publication that comes out every 3 months,
mm-hmm.
one of the components that I was looking at when I was looking at the provisional government officers, you have a component that deals specifically with hurricane relief, the hurricane relief plan. Tell us how that came about. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I could give you a little insight into
mm-hmm.
it. Alvin worked more with it
okay.
In Jackson. I basically worked in St. Louis with a number of organizations here. I think it was The Nation. We had Sabaye, which is an organization here that deals with youth, and
mm-hmm.
a number of other organizations. I'm sorry if I'm leaving out,
mm-hmm.
but they're some of the major organizations. But basically, what we did here was to raise, attempt to raise money, clothing, and also to deal with housing, and
mm-hmm.
trying to adopt a strategy of dealing with the short-term effects on the people and also the long-term impact that would be impacting the people, and trying to put some in place where we can continue to deal with the with our situation down there. And Alvin basically worked with the national.
And Alvin, why was it important, why is it important to include a hurricane component to your agenda? Because I don't imagine it was there 5 years ago. What's the connection with the Republic of New Africa and the hurricane provision?
What a connection, basically, is the fact that our people, this probably did more to politicize our people than anything since the end of segregation in this city.
The signs being up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
With the exception of 50 Cent. Did you hear about 50 Cent? 50
yeah.
Cent said that he doesn't know where Kanye West got that statement from. He doesn't understand that. He needs to go back to school.
Yeah, yes, he does.
<That's correct.
laughs>
He needs to go back to school.
He needs to listen to Nina Simone.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
There
yeah.
you go.
But some of, in fact, I thought one of the most important statements was like by Attorney Chokwe Lumumba, who said, you know, that in fashioning our response here, you know, and this included the Nation of Islam, the New Black Panther Party, Republic of New Africa, the NAACP. Those are some of the groups that are working in a coalition called the Mississippi Disaster Relief Coalition. And that if we didn't actually fashion a plan and actually get involved and provide service to our people, and this is all of us, not just only the provisional government, that our people would write us out of history.
Mm-hmm.
So it had two purposes: to be able first to provide short range and long range support for our people, since they saw that the government really didn't care about them,
mm-hmm.
the government, the United States government, and also was the thing to be able to show the people that we can, as our own people, provide service, and in particular the provisional government could provide something for our people.
Very good. Let me get to some of our callers here. Kathy, you have a question or comment for our guests, Alvin or Ishmael?
Yes. Good morning, Liz. I wanted to know, what is their opinion of the manner in which Marlon Gray was killed?
Marlon Gray. All right.
Yes,
thank you very much.
If that is a part of their... You know.
We're talking about the death penalty. The death penalty and Marlon Gray, who was wrongfully executed last week. Does the Republic of New Africa have a stance with regard to the death penalty? And in Marlon Gray in particular.
Right. Right. In Marlon Gray in particular, I have actually, you know, worked or been at Cobrian Presbyterian Church when we actually were doing fundraising, really, to appeal his case and that.
Mm.
And, in fact, Chokwe was... asked to be on the to defend him at one time. The death penalty, like all laws, the basic thing is that if you haven't actually been asked or want to be a citizen or don't declare yourself a citizen or don't receive the benefits of a citizen, then how can you be subject to the laws of this country?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we look at the fact that until people actually agree to actually abide by the laws, then how can they be held, if they're held here against their will, how can they be subjected to laws and then actually executed under the laws? If you establish your own government, then the laws that will be made will be, and the administration of those laws by judges and the courts which you select, will be then more fair as far as the people are concerned, and what type of punishment people decide would be sufficient would be the type of punishment that would be administered. If they come up and say, we want a death penalty as a people, it would be. If they come up and say no death penalty, that's the way it would be.
But in, with regard to the issue of the death penalty as it exists today, does your outside of the not bound by the laws if you haven't been asked to be a citizen, does the Republic of New Africa have a position on the death penalty as people of African descent? Is there an official opinion on that?
There isn't an official policy that has been issued, although we are against all laws that New Africans haven't ascribed to.
Mm-hmm. And Ishmael?
And me personally, I'm definitely against the death penalty. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's the state, which is just another entity. They do not have the right to kill another person. It's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Obadiah?
Yes.
Yes, you have a question for our guest, either Alvin or Ishmael.
Yes, Ishmael is one in St. Louis.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I used to be in the RNA. That was when they called the RNA in Detroit under Milton Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got in there during the Algiers incident, the Algiers Motel over on Woodward Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this is what I wanted to ask you about, is that what about the education of our people? And the next thing is, what do you think about the incidents of Rosa Parks and where our people are there? What I'm trying to say is that I got out, man, just because I knew what black Americans idea in education was about, to try to reform the American system. And I knew that was going to be just like in Iraq right now. You know, you have one group of people fighting against each other, and this one wants to stay with the American way, and you have another one who says, well, first of all, you got to educate me. Don't educate me something and then turn around and expect for me to know something different.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know that we have a whole lot of Iraqis that are running around fighting for the American way. I don't see a whole lot of evidence of that. But the question of, as it pertains to education, what is the stance of the Republic of New Africa on education of people of African descent?
Well, and I'll let Ishmael come in after. I just wanted to start off a little bit. There is a Minister of Education. But Milton and Richard Henry were the two Henry brothers. Richard is Umari Obadeli. I just saw Milton Henry, Brother Gaidi, mm-hmm. who's still a lawyer up in Michigan right now. But in 1968 and 69, the position of education was that we, you know, are being miseducated and wanted to form our own education system so that we could educate our children to, you know, it's the African roots, and to better prepare them to reform, to revolutionize the world. In fact, many people forget that 1969, the Ocean Hill, Brownville School District up in New York under Sonny Carson and the rest of them, that was intended to be the first plebiscite
mm-hmm.
up in New York. And as you know, Mayor Lindsay and mm-hmm. his school teachers, the board of the union, teachers union, ended that whole process, which set it back, and then we had various things. 1969, the police in Detroit, the FBI attacked the Republic of New Africa in Detroit and Reverend Franklin's church, Aretha's father.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1971, when we went down to Jackson, Mississippi to organize a plebiscite, then they attacked us on August 18th of 1971. And those two things have kind of slowed down the process.
But education is key. I mean, when you look at the history of South Africa, you look at the first thing that they did was to, the plan was to, you have to uneducate, de-educate, right, control the educational process. You teach anybody anything from birth until adult, they're going to believe that and right, see the world like that.
That's true, Liz.
And could you hold that thought, please?
Okay,
because we need to take a break. We're talking about an election going on for the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. I have two guests in the studio with me this morning, Alvin Brown and also Ishmael. Pronounce your last name for me. Thought. Thought. Ishmael Thought.
Yes,
I am Liz Brown. We will be back. I see all of your all of you on the lines for questions and comments. Don't worry. We'll be back. We'll take care of it.
For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships. For the millions of scars on their backs and faced by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard. For the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, picked the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Representative Tom DeLay is raking in big bucks to help pay for his legal expenses. Papers filed in the name of the Tom DeLay Legal Expense Trust Fund show it took in over $300,000 just in the last 3 months to be used to fight the charges of conspiracy and money laundering against him. The fund also spent $278,000 during that same period. The fund was set up 5 years ago and paid for a previous civil racketeering lawsuit and several ethics investigations. DeLay and two of his associates are currently charged with funneling money received from corporations to Texas state legislature candidates. That violates a law that prohibits the use of corporate funds in state campaigns. And a Dateline Washington. The U.S. says it's going to extend sanctions against Sudan because it is continuing to sponsor terrorism. It also plans to send a diplomat to that country to check on the progress of a peace agreement that put an end to a 20-year-old civil war. This announcement was made as Sudan's first vice president, Salva Kiir, paid his first visit to Washington after taking over for former rebel leader, John Garang, who died in a July plane crash. He had requested the sanctions be lifted, as they include an economic embargo. But he was told that they would remain in place another year because Sudan's policies pose a threat to American national security and foreign policy. If the sanctions had not been renewed, they were set to expire this week. They've been in place since 1997. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
St. Louis, for the final time this year, WWE is back. SmackDown Live, Saturday night, November 5th at Savas Center.
The Animal has been unleashed.
In a brutal main event, you'll see the Animal, Batista.
I'm delivering the Batista bomb to you.
You defend what Eddie Guerrero burns to have.
I gave him the fight of his life.
The World Heavyweight title.
And I'll do anything to get that around my waist.
I'm going to whip your ass.
619 is coming back.
And you'll see Rey Mysterio face the Thomas, the proclaimed wrestling god, JBL, and St. Louis's own Randy Orton and Cowboy Bob Orton are out for blood.
You will witness the end
of a legend.
When my father and I have the final say with The Undertaker,
someone will rest in peace. Saturday night, November 5th at Savas Center. Eight seats available now at the Savas Center box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or charge by phone. Go to WWE.com for more details.
As one of the most haunted small towns in America, Alton, Illinois will be celebrating with Haunted Alton on Saturday, November 5th and 12th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day. Join the Alton Regional Convention and Visitors Bureau at 200 Piazza Street across from Argosy's Alton Casino. Hear the legends and meet mythical and mysterious owls up close and personal. Admission is free. For more info, call 1-800-ALTON-IL. News to you from WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Oh, good morning and welcome back. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call, living my life as an African and loving it. This morning we are talking about an election, an election that is taking place within the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. And we're talking about that election. We were talking on our way out about the Republic of New Africa. Educational component, the educational understanding, vision, if you will. And Ishmael, can you take us to that?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that only we could tell our story like it needs to be told, and we need to be the ones teaching our children. And we definitely have to have an African worldview, because if we're teaching from a European worldview, we're distorting the minds of our people, because the European worldview is based upon a white supremacy. And if we're pushing that, then we're pushing to hate ourselves with that European worldview. So we definitely have to teach our own, and teach our own with an African worldview.
And for people that can't get to the word hate, just consider it this way. You're advocating a history that doesn't have you in it, and how can you walk the earth like you matter if you don't see your place any place in the earth?
Exactly.
And before we get to our callers, I was talking to you all off the air about the blanket drive. I'm going to get a commitment from you all for our wake-up call blanket drive.
Yes,
that's
okay.
Correct.
All right, because we got to get that done. That's our big thing here on a wake-up call, so I'm going to get a commitment from you all from the Republic of New Africa's. Y'all gonna bring us some blankets.
That's correct.
Blankets. We have some here, and hopefully down in Jackson also.
Outstanding. Let me get to all of these callers, because everybody want to talk to you. Car phone. If you have a question for either our guest Alvin Brown or Ishmael Tooth. Hello? Okay, not there. How about Kevin?
Hey, how you doing?
Ishmael or Alvin?
It's both of them. I heard you guys say you want to be an observer at the World United Nations.
Observer status, correct.
Yeah. You know what? The United Nations is one of the problems when it comes to Africa, because the United Nations is what embargo in Africa right now. My personal view is that Africans need to arm themselves tremendously. Try to connect with people like Iraq and Iran, who are also being embargoed by the world, and trade with them. Because I had a dream, and peaceful resistance does not work when it comes to a greedy capitalist. And the world right now, even the Chinese, are doing that. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. I think that Kevin expressed the frustration of a lot of folks out there in terms of what is the organizational plan, what is the strategy that should be used to empower people to maintain a nation.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I think we need to raise the level of consciousness of our people. You know, it's interesting that your show is called a wake-up call, and I definitely think that's what we need, is a wake-up call. We have to wake up and come to the realization, raise our level of consciousness to understand our situation. you know, and why we are suffering the way we are.
And it's, I don't know how wise it is to advocate to put the gun in the hand of a person that doesn't know how to shoot,
right?
Or to what to shoot at, you know. So I mean, education is always the first step, isn't it?
That's correct.
All right.
If you look at the China is right now is in the United Nations. All the countries that he just named are in the United Nations.
Yes.
In fact, 2 days ago in the Wall Street Journal, the African countries, several African countries, voted not to accept this proposed UN position of having two permanent seats in the United Nations, but no veto power.
No veto power. So what's the point? Why would we be here? Valerie, you have a question for either Alvin or Ishmael?
Both.
Yes.
I got in on the tail end of a conversation they were having about the Hurricane Katrina survivors.
Mm-hmm.
I sit on a committee trying to come up with resources for those families that are located in the St. Louis region from the Gulf Coast, and I wondered if there's a contact number for the Republic of New Africa.
How about this? Can we put you on hold, and I'll have Howard get your contact information. But
great.
If you all want to put your phone number out there, too, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, well, fine. We can put out the local number here. At the local number, if you wanted to get in with the district office, is area code 314. It's 839-0422. If you wanted to call down to our residence in Jackson, Mississippi, you can dial area code 601, and it's 352-0702.
Very good. Let me get to a couple more of our callers here. Barbara, you have a question for our guest, either Alvin or Ishmael?
Both.
All right.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, good morning, guest.
Good morning.
I was wondering, do you all have a school, or how much land? I heard him mention something about the 501c4, your land in Jackson. How much acreage is there?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your call, Barbara.
What?
Oh, you have some more questions?
Yeah.
All right, stay right there then.
Okay, well, right now, the land that we presently possess is an official government residence down in Jackson. It's actually on Arbor Vista. It's a residence. You know, we still hold 20 acres of land that the Mississippi government voided, and it's still being held in the people's court. But no, we don't have, we need more people to help us realize that land base.
When is the election, Barbara? That's going to have to be all. When is the election?
The election starts tomorrow, Friday the 4th, Saturday the 5th, and Sunday the 6th of November.
And final words, Ishmael, as a candidate?
Yes, I would like to let the people know that I definitely will be getting information to convey back to the provisional government. And also, we'd like to get into the aspects of dealing with co-ops and a number of other things.
Very good. Okay. And Alvin?
I want to invite everybody, if you can come by either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, both Ujamaa Maktaba bookstores, one up here at 5108 Natural Bridge, and over on 4267 Manchester. And then Saturday and Sunday on the corner of 4000 Maffitt, the Sabaye Community Center. You can come by any one of those three locations and vote. And you can also look for our green, red, and black flag in on the street corner with you know, what we call mobile voting. So
Look for it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been a great interview. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck to you.
Okay,
listen, folks,
you.
I will be back after the break. Please, please, please stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
In Washington, the vice president's former chief of staff has been indicted on 5 counts in the CIA leak investigation. Libby is expected to plead not guilty. ABC's Ann Compton has more on the possible impact.
The Scooter Libby case, if it goes to trial, presents a huge challenge to the Bush White House. So far, testimony has been in secret to a grand jury. But a trial in open court would certainly call senior White House officials to testify, possibly even Vice President Cheney, Libby's boss.
President Bush's top aide, Karl Rove, could still face charges in the investigation. Another storm cloud on the horizon. The European Commission says it will investigate reports that the CIA has been operating secret prisons in 8 Eastern European countries. The International Red Cross is asking for access to all foreign terror suspects held by the U.S. President Bush is on his way to a 2-day economic summit in Argentina. Thousands of protesters are there. denouncing the president's call for free trade. A massive search continues for two violent prisoners who escaped from a maximum security prison in Columbia, South Carolina, Tuesday. Both men are serving life sentences. The search now focused 120 miles to the south in Ridgeland.
The trial attorney for one of the men is fearing for his life because he knows that one of these suspects has a vendetta out for this man. Police have surrounded that attorney's home and are protecting the attorney and his family.
ABC's Steve Osunsami in Ridgeland. It's opening day for the Christmas Spectacular at Radio City, and the show will go on a day after musicians went on strike.
We've reached the local Later 2 hotline. All Radio City musicians who are scheduled to play the 11 a.m. performance on Thursday should report to the stage door at 10:30. Dressed and ready to work.
The hotline at the Musicians Union, but Radio City says no. The Rockettes will perform with recorded music. This is ABC News.
Okay, top three reasons I'm sprucing up my home for the holidays. Number three, my guest bathroom is no place for a guest. Number two, I don't want to just welcome visitors. I want to wow them. And the number one reason, I can buy and get compliments now, but pay later.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing on purchases throughout the store. Only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 11605 in U.S. only. See store for details.
With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
There have been a lot of layoffs at Warner Brothers Studios. ABC's Alex Stone explains.
It was at Warner Brothers in Burbank, California, where Friends was taped and where shows like The West Wing, Cold Case, and Joey are shot today. More than 300 of the lot's employees have been told they no longer have jobs. Warner Brothers says, like other entertainment companies, it's bracing for lower revenue in coming years because fewer people are buying DVDs. And there is a smaller market for syndicated TV shows. Alex Stone, ABC News, Hollywood.
A 57-year-old Colorado man is suing Home Depot. Bob Dougherty says he became stuck to a toilet seat in the restroom when someone smeared glue on it. He says employees ignored his cries for help. Dougherty was recovering from a heart attack and thought he was having another one. The head clerk says they heard the cries but thought it was a hoax. After about 15 minutes, an ambulance was called. Paramedics unbolted the toilet seat and Dougherty was wheeled out of the store. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a suspect is in custody in the fatal shooting of a Washington Park, Illinois woman. Police say Darlene Garrett was shot Tuesday afternoon on her porch in the 5200 block of Caseyville Road during a confrontation between her husband and the suspect. Garrett's husband was unhurt. The suspect's name has not been released. Two St. Louis organizations will share a three-year, $300,000 grant to help children in single-family homes succeed. The grant, one of only six awarded nationwide, will be shared by the Father Support Center and the Healthy Marriage Coalition. Halbert Sullivan, a spokesperson for both, says children are the result of what is going on in the family unit.
When children come from a strong family, the children are less likely to be involved with drugs, less likely to drop out of high school, less likely to come up with teen pregnancy. You address a lot of issues when you have two good parents involved in a child's life.
The grant money will be used to teach responsible parenting and healthy marriage skills to at-risk families. There are nearly 80,000 single-parent homes in the St. Louis area. November is National Family Caregivers Month. It's designed to recognize family and friends who provide assistance to loved ones. St. Andrew's At-Home Services Vice President Ann Banz says the family caregiver provides the largest percentage of care to older adults, and without them, our society would be in a huge health care crisis. Banz says while it's important to recognize family caregivers this month, it's even more important that the caregiver recognizes the job they do. Finally this hour, former Rams and Giants quarterback Kurt Warner is getting another shot at starting in the NFL. After being sidelined earlier in the year with a groin injury, Warner was not granted his starting job back by Arizona Cardinals head coach Dennis Green when he got healthy, as he instead went to the younger Josh McCown. McCown led the Cardinals to their only two victories of the year. However, after McCown struggled in his last two games, Green has decided to award the starting job back to Warner, who has completed 64 of his 101 passes for 628 yards with a touchdown and two interceptions on the year. Warner will lead the Cardinals during Sunday's home game with the Seattle Seahawks and will face the Rams on November 20th at the Edward Jones Dome. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Stop by Ashley Furniture Home Stores' grand opening event for great deals and no interest till 2009. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood, South County, and now in O'Fallon, Missouri. Stop by today. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything is rolling along smoothly this morning. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic's finally easing up. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, which is Broadway. Look for maintenance operations having that exit ramp closed until Sunday morning. You can use 11th Street or 14th Street to get around. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into Florissant. Everything is on a move. Eastbound 70 between Mid Rivers Mall and Blanchett Bridge. That traffic is back to normal. Eastbound 44 to Merrimack River Bridge is still a little slow, but they're moving steady this hour. Northbound 55 between Holly Hills and Lafayette, no problems to report. Westbound 70 between or at the 170 Bridge, look for maintenance operations having the left lane closed. Westbound 44 between Lewis and 109, road maintenance operations have one lane closed there. Westbound 40, Clayton Skinker, look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane is closed. Northbound 270 at Clayton and 40, there's an accident. The right lane is blocked. Traffic backs up approaching Clayton Road. Northbound 270 at 44 and Gravoy and 44, that accident has been cleared. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has three daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today for more information. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly sunny today, windy with a high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-50s. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for rain. The high will only be around 70 degrees. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 61 in sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake-up call, family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
about peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied existence.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. The Democrats shut it down. Couple days ago, they wanted to talk about. Did folks lie? How did we get into this war? What are you doing to investigate what the false intelligence, the misinformation? Who did what? They shut it down. The Democrats did, and in doing so, they managed to get on the front page of the paper. New York Times, alongside the other story that knocked Scooter off the front page, the nomination of Samuel Alito to be an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. I am hopeful that the media... I don't even want to call this multitasking, because multitasking usually involves more than two things. I'm just hoping that the media can hold two thoughts in their head at the same time and understand the importance of both of these issues, because here in the Wake Up Call, we're going to do that. This morning, we're going to talk about Judge Samuel Alito. And is he good for America? Is he good for the country? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to have that conversation facilitated by Judd Legum. He's the Director of Research for the Center for American Progress, and he is joining us from Washington, D.C. Judd, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. I'm looking at the statement from the Center for American Progress. Doesn't look like y'all like him much. A preliminary review of his judicial record suggests that if confirmed, Judge Alito would take a very different path, bringing about a seismic shift in the ideological balance of the court. His record shows scant respect for constitutional rights and a troubling tendency to second-guess the authority of the Congress to protect and advance them. A little activist in him, you think?
I think so. He's been willing, and he's been sort of out on his own a lot of times when he's been serving on panels with other judges to overturn acts of Congress that it seems like he just doesn't agree with ideologically. The big one that a lot of people are talking about is the Family and Medical Leave Act, which allows people to take some time off from work to care for a sick relative, for a number of other reasons. He ruled that that was unconstitutional, later got overturned by the Supreme Court.
I'd like to talk about, even though I hate to see any discussion of a Supreme Court justice reduced down to the issue of abortion, but some of the things that he says are kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, Neanderthalistic?
Well, the thing that's really troubling about his views on abortion, and I think it's pretty clear that he's probably to the right of anybody on the court right now with abortion, or at least in line with like Scalia and Thomas and the really conservative people, is that he actually ruled that it was legal to have a requirement that women notify their spouses before having an abortion, which does sort of sound like we're back, 100, 200 years.
And I'm listening to some of these right-wing talk shows, places like It's Okay to Kill, Hugo Chavez, Pat Roberts, Robertson, saying that that's really not such a bad idea. So what does that say about if we have right-wing groups like this actually embracing the idea that a woman should be required to note it, a woman should be reduced down into a parent-child relationship with her husband. What does that say about women's issues? Can we predict, or do we have a paper trail with Alito in terms of women's issues?
Well, there is a long paper trail, and I don't think it's very encouraging if you care about these issues, if you care about a woman's right to choose. I've actually spent a good deal of time looking through all the cases. I obviously haven't gotten through all of them. He's been judged for 15 years. But one thing that's shocking is that he's consistently on the right on almost every single decision that he's made. Even somebody like Scalia, who's generally seen as far right as you can go as a judge, he'll surprise you every now and again on, a flag-burning issue or criminal defendants' rights. He'll kind of play out a character. Alito is somebody who doesn't do that. He's a straight down the line, and that's what his record shows.
And should we be concerned about this from the perspective of, well, the United States, President of the United States has the right to pick who he wants to. This is his choice. Why should all of America be concerned or feel or be questioning this?
Well, I'd amend that a little bit. He has the right to nominate whoever he wants, and it's the Senate who has the right to give their advice and consent and decide whether or not they're going to confirm him to the Supreme Court. So we've only got half of the process done. And in the end, although Bush is doing the nominating, he's everyone's Supreme Court justice for the whole country. It's our court system. And the American people have a right to have somebody who represents their interests, and so I think that's what's going to come out during these hearings, and we'll see if he does or not.
Don't you think also, Judd, that Americans probably need to have a one-on-one lesson on what a judge is supposed to do? A judge is not supposed to be partisan. That's judgeship 101. You're not supposed to be partisan, and you're supposed to have temperament. And clearly, can we draw a conclusion about Alito that we have a partisan person in respect to his opinions?
Yeah, I think that's the concern. You have to, put this in perspective. He's replacing Justice O'Connor, who was a very conservative justice. I think certainly probably disappointed a lot of liberals and progressives on a number of fronts. But at the same time, she had an open mind about things. You couldn't count on her to go one way or another. So the person arguing the case, no matter what side, they always had a chance. And so that's the question we have to ask with Alito is everyone going to have a chance? And I think if you look at his record, and it's a long record, it really suggests that no, a lot of times if you're on one side of the issue, it doesn't matter what the facts are, you don't have a chance. And I think that's the real concern, so you don't have that objectivity.
And the statement coming out of your organization reads as follows, that the Senate must ensure that those who serve on our highest court demonstrate not only professional excellence, but also a willingness to approach every case with an open mind and a respect for precedent. And those are the two concerns.
Right.
I
think that's exactly right. And I think what President Bush did after the right wing kind of aborted his first choice for the Supreme Court for this nominee, which was Harriet Myers, he decided, well, the big knock on her was she didn't have enough experience, so I'm going to find somebody who's been a judge for 15 years. But, you know, we don't I think the country deserves not just somebody who has experience, not just somebody who has an open mind, but both. You know, this is the highest court. We shouldn't have to compromise here. We should have somebody who is really of the highest quality.
Well, let's get to a caller or two here. Gary, you have a question? Gary, do you have a question? I guess not. One of the things that also has been brought up with regard to Alito, and I'm asking Judd if this is a fair question, or is it something that we're allowed to be concerned about? Is it something we should bring up? The number of Catholics that will be on the court as a result of if Alito is confirmed.
Well, my feeling is, it's really not an issue of how many Catholics there are, but it becomes a problem if someone's religious views, particularly if have very strong, and Alito is a member of Opus Dei, which is a very conservative wing of Catholicism.
And so is Scalia. Scalia. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I think the issue is not, should, you know, are there going to be too many Catholics? I don't think that that's a problem. I think you could have them all be Catholics, and that would be, you know, probably not ideal, but just fine, so long as that those views weren't dictating how you're going to rule on cases. And I think so it goes back to kind of the same concern is, are his religious views and kind of his ideology, political ideology influenced by those religious views, is that what's driving his opinion? And I think that, you know, you've got a lot of people trying to, you know, friends of his giving quotes saying, well, he is open-minded because they know this is the knock on him. But the point is we need more than just his friends vouching for him. What we need is some evidence of that. And I don't think there's any evidence of that.
And, Judd, give us an example of something that could pass as evidence for open-mindedness with regard to Alito. What possibly could be out there?
Well, sort of what I was talking about with Scalia, and I don't think Scalia is really open-minded, but, I mean, you look through those cases. He's been a judge for 15 years. Now, during that time, there's been about 250 cases where there's been a split on the court on cases. So there's been 250 cases where there's been some controversy about among the judges ruling on it about how they should rule. And in literally nearly every single one of those cases, if not every single one of those cases, you can count on Alito to be on the conservative side of the opinion. I think if you were to do that with almost any other judge, even someone like Justice Scalia, you would find on a flag-burning case, on a case that involved the rights of criminal defendants, you would find Scalia being on, you know, what would be typically defined as the liberal side of the case. So we would need a few examples of that, and they're just not there.
So we're looking for a paper trail to show that there is some other way, that he has some other way of thinking besides the right.
Yeah. And, you know, what's particularly striking, you can look, there's been about 41 cases that have involved criminal defendants. So, you know, cases involving people who are in prison. And almost every time he's ruling against the interests of those criminal defendants. So you just have to ask yourself, if you're a criminal defendant going before the Supreme Court trying to argue for your rights, whether it was a search that was invalid or procedures that weren't followed, are you going to have a chance with just with Alito if he's on the bench. And that's really the concern, is that everyone should have a chance.
And if you have a closed mind in a certain position, you don't have a chance.
That's
bottom
right.
line. Let me get to a couple of callers here. Dimitri, you have a question for Judge Judd Legum.
Yes, I do. Mr. Legum, you're discussing jurisprudence, and I wonder if I could just take this to an international scene. What do you think the world thinks of us when we allow Iraqis who have suffered under Saddam Hussein to be his prosecuting attorney and judges? That would be similar to having Mrs. Sheehan be the judge if they were trying President Bush for war crimes. I don't see why people in lawyers and judges can stand and not say something about the horror of this thing. This man should be tried before a neutral court, and I'd like to hear your opinion on that. Thank you very much.
Well, I think there's some difficulty about how you prosecute somebody like Saddam Hussein, because to be honest, you know, the whole country, it's undoubtable, suffered when he was in control there for a number of years and under his dictatorship. And so the question is, you know, do you have the people who suffered control his trial? Well, I think that, you know, it's the right of the Iraqi people to try their own people. So I don't know if you would go, you know, the only place where you're going to find the kind of new trial that you're looking for would probably be another country, and maybe even not there. So I'm not sure really how you get around that.
You have a question for our guest.
Yes, sir. Do you think that if a judge like, you know, Mr. Alito had been on the court in 37, would they have struck down the whole New Deal, Social Security, Wagner Act, everything? What do you think he would have done? Thank you.
Well, I think there's real questions of what they would have done. I mean, I think it's really hard to speculate to take back 7 years and try to determine, well, what would Alito would have done. But I can tell you that now he's very skeptical and is very not too hesitant to overturn laws. And at the time in 1937, those New Deal laws were controversial. I think they were seen by conservatives as overstepping the bounds of the federal government and their constitutional authority. And so I think it really, you know, you could ask a reasonable question of would Alito have, you know, said that those laws were constitutional.
Gary.
Yes, as I understand, when Judge Alito was put in the position of federal judge, he got 100% of the votes from both the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't really know why it would be any different now. They knew everything about him then that they'll know now, plus a few, decisions. But another point being, I don't think whether he's pro-life or not can be a litmus test, and I think that's what many liberals are making it a litmus test because he's pro-life.
Okay, thanks for your question. That's those are two of the questions that are percolating all through right-wing talk radio shows, on the Chris Matthews show, on all of these shows is, well, if you said, and I don't think it was 100%, but if you said yes to him as a lower court judge, then how can you say no to him as a Supreme Court nominee? And there's a big reason, isn't there?
Well, we now have 15 years to assess how he's been doing.
This is a job performance thing, because he has a lifetime appointment as a lower court judge, and there's no way to evaluate him because he's on there, so now let's evaluate the work he's done.
Yeah, I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of cases, and I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, for a senator to say, and many of them will, that, you know, several hundred cases later, they've had a chance to see what kind of judge he is, and he doesn't deserve a promotion to the Supreme Court. I think that's reasonable.
Just like any other job. And also, it's one thing, you can only go so far as a lower court judge in your decisions, right? Because the Supreme Court is there to overrule you, as they did many times with Alito.
Yeah, you're far less constrained. And just to touch on the caller's other point.
And we have to take a could you hold your thought, please, because we have to take a break.
Well, why don't I just talk about it after the break? I don't want to rush through it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Judd Legum, director of research for the Center for American Progress, joining us from Washington D.C. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Come on, come on.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, a new law has just been passed by Congress that protects gun dealers and firearms makers from being sued by shooting victims. The NRA says this legislation was necessary to protect the U.S. firearms industry. But statistics show that only about 1% of unscrupulous gun dealers sell over half the guns that wind up being a part of a criminal investigation. Did the powerful NRA lobby have a hand in getting this legislation approved? How will the reshaped Supreme Court tackle gun-related cases? Don't miss Casey Anderson, attorney for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, discussing legal immunity for the gun industry on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Relax with an old friend. Janet Jimenez shares places and spaces with you at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes. And after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
When you're out driving, ever feel threatened by those big rigs? You have good reason. A major cause of tractor-trailer accidents is due to drivers overly tired and falling asleep behind the wheel. But still, the trucking industry has convinced Congress to allow operators to stay behind the wheel for up to 11 straight hours at a time. Find out which states are the most deadly for these rolling time bombs. Join Jeff Burns of Citizens for Reliable and Safe Highways for a chilling look at big rig safety, Friday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Judd Legum. He is the Director of Research for the Center for American Progress. We are talking about, Judge, the nomination of Samuel Alito. And, Judd, welcome back.
Great to be here.
And you were responding to a caller had a two-part question on why are people questioning the pro-right position of Judge Alito, that liberals are just mad about him being pro-life.
Yeah. What's interesting about this is where the litmus test here was on the right wing. There was a lot of controversy about Harriet Myers for a while, but what really sunk her is when there was a 1993 speech where she said she believed in self-determination for women. That was really unacceptable for many of the forces on the right, and so they got themselves, they forced her out and got themselves a nominee who passed their litmus test. So I think if there's a litmus test going on, it's showing that, you know, it's the right who really, will only accept, someone who they really believe is going to side with them on these issues.
And there's no such thing as really saying, or you can't reduce Judge Alito down into simply being pro-life. He's a judge, and we have to look at his decisions on these issues, and we can make and it's reasonable to draw conclusions based upon what he has written.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think that it should ever be boiled down to one issue just because the Supreme Court is going to spend most of its time on other issues. And so you've got to take that all into consideration. But I think, you know, basically the concern about him on the abortion issue is the same on all the other issues. It's, you know, are people going to have a fair shot with him? And I think when you see that he's someone who's willing to, you know, impose the kind of restrictions where you'd have to get your husband's permission to have an abortion, he's pretty much willing to go wherever.
And again, if this is a question, like you just said, will he approach a case with an open mind? And looking at the fact that he has been on, would it be fair to say, the wrong side? If the Supreme Court keeps overruling his decision, he's on the wrong side, isn't he?
Well, I think it shows that he's to the right of the court, of where the court is currently, even the most conservative members. And so I think that that's an important consideration. And just to sort of make clear where I stand, there's a lot of people who say, well, ideology shouldn't matter. I think ideology does matter, and what you need is somebody who has an ideology that's in the mainstream. Otherwise, they're going to push the country in a place that it doesn't want to go.
And isn't it interesting, Judd, that we live in a time where just almost just minutes ago, it seems, that Tom DeLay just got a judge recused because he gave money to Democrats. So if that's a judge that is unqualified to assess his case, then what do the opinions and the actions of Alito say about his ability to approach a case with an open mind?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting issue down there with DeLay, and I think he clearly has a very good criminal defense attorney.
He has a heck of a criminal defense attorney to getting a judge to tell another judge that, no, you're not right when you say that you can be impartial.
Exactly. And the thing is, ultimately, he's going to have a judge review his case, and he's going to have to defend himself on the facts. So, you know, this helped him out. It was certainly a good public relations effort because it reinforces his idea that this is all just a partisan witch hunt against him. But I think in the end there's going to be a trial no matter which judge, and he's going to have to defend himself, and we'll all await the outcome of that.
Carphone, you have a question for Judd.
Good morning. How are you, Judd?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad. Hey, do you have a short list, one or two perhaps persons who meet your criteria to fill this vacancy? Do you have those handy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can go with a conservative judge, somebody who's been appointed by a Republican. There's a judge, Judge Prado, who's currently on the Court of Appeals, who I think would garner a lot of support. I think there's a lot of conservatives, very conservative judges, that President Bush could have selected who wouldn't have really garnered much opposition at all.
The one you mentioned, why would he meet your criteria and not the present nominee? in your life?
Well, I think he's shown that, you know, when through his term in office, he's been he was nominated to the district court by Reagan in 84. He was nominated by President Bush, the second President Bush, in 2003 to the Fifth Circuit. And I think he's shown that, you know, he's a conservative, but he's somebody who has an open mind. He looks at things fairly, and he decides the issues on the merits. And I think that's why he'd be somebody that you know, you wouldn't find a lot of opposition to. I don't think this particular Judge Prado has really, I mean, this rather Judge Alito has demonstrated that yet, and that's why it's going to be an issue in his hearings.
You truly don't anticipate hurdles being placed in the current nominee's way, though, that will restrict him or prevent him from being on the court, though, realistically?
Well, I think the people to look out for are the senators from Maine. You got Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe. They're pretty moderate Republicans. And I think if you see them raising doubts about him and having concerns about him, it was going to be a very close vote, a very tough vote for Judge Alito. If they start to express strong support, I think he'll have an easier shot. But that's what I would look to if you're trying to kind of game out the political likelihood of him eventually being confirmed.
Okay,
very
and that we got.
I appreciate your time. Sir.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. One of the things that's also going on, Judd, is the Gang of 17, is it?
14.
Gang of 14. They've been meeting, and apparently two of the Republican members have already said that they're going to support Alito. What does that do?
Well, this whole Gang of 14 mess, I never really thought that it did much good. Essentially, it was they cobbled together to try to avoid what's called the nuclear option of really just getting rid of the ability to filibuster judges.
That's really what it was.
What?
That's really what it was.
Yeah, and that's what it was. And now what I think most people could have predicted this from the beginning is that as soon as there was a judge that there was really much controversy over, the whole thing was going to fall apart. So it doesn't really mean much of anything when the people who agree not to do it are only doing it until there's a time that they want to do it. So
what would it take to engage in a successful filibuster?
Well,
how many would it take?
You need 41 to do it. But what the Republicans are trying to do is change the rules of the Senate and say, for judges, you wouldn't be able to filibuster it. And sort of the trick here is that what they claim is that you only need 51 votes to change the rules. And so that's sort of the plan that they've been floating. Now the problem for them is it's going to be kind of difficult for them to get those 51 votes to change the rules, because you've got some moderate Republicans who don't want to sort of sully the institution of the Senate. They're concerned about looking like statesmen. And so I think that's an issue with some people, and so it might be hard for them to change the rules.
Is that a real possibility? Do you all see that as a real possibility of approaching this nuclear option, this so-called nuclear option?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already being talked about, and I think that's really where this could end up going. You know, I think part of why the shutdown of the Senate that you mentioned kind of in the intro to this segment was significant is it showed that Harry Reid was willing to kind of not play nice on this and do what he needed to do to get the issue to move the Senate in the direction he wanted to go. So I think that could sort of be a preview of what we might see with this fight over Alito.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Judd Legum. He's the director of research for the Center for American Progress, joining us from Washington, D.C. I see your calls. We'll get to some of those when we get back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
And he's the only treasure I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life, the very hard life. Hard life, wherever you go. And
Next on Mondays at 9, a new law has just been passed by Congress that protects gun dealers and firearms makers from being sued by shooting victims. The NRA says this legislation was necessary to protect the U.S. firearms industry. But statistics show that only about 1% of unscrupulous gun dealers sell over half the guns that wind up being a part of a criminal investigation. Did the powerful NRA lobby have a hand in getting this legislation approved? How will the reshaped Supreme Court tackle gun-related cases? Don't miss Casey Anderson, attorney for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, discussing legal immunity for the gun industry on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Tucson. The U.S. Border Patrol reports assaults against members of its force have doubled over the past year. Most of the incidents happen when agents come upon drug trafficking and migrant smuggling operations. Nearly 700 assaults were reported in the fiscal year that ended September 30th. That compares to 354 last year. Most of the attacks took place in areas known for immigrant smuggling, such as Nogales, Arizona, and Tijuana. But attacks have taken place all along the southern border. Tucson and San Diego have been the scene of the most violent attacks, with agents being shot at over 40 times. Three were wounded, and about 20 more suffered injuries from being hit with rocks and sticks. Five men suspected of immigrant smuggling were shot and killed by border police in those two areas, and another man was shot to death after brandishing a semi-automatic weapon while waiting to pick up illegal immigrants. 11,000 agents are now patrolling the 2,000-mile border with Mexico. Bright lighting, motion sensors, remote cameras, and triple fencing are also being used for security as well. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right, that's right, that's right. It's almost Friday. It's time to get your shop on. Do you need some tools? Well, you need the best tools made in America, Craftsman. Well, I know where you can go, and you don't have to have a whole tank of gas to get there. Union and Natural Bridge, that's Sears, black-owned, black-operated. They have everything that the Sears at the big malls have, but they have a little bit more. Convenience and wonderful customer service. So come on, get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. They've got everything, televisions, DVRs, VCRs, big screen, little screen, washers, dryers, you name it, they got it, and they got a great deal waiting for you. So get on down to Sears, get your shop on.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
We have another dance, yeah, just the one more.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. LizBrown.com is the web. A revolution at LizBrown.com is the address. I am talking this morning to Judd Legum. He is the Director of Research at the Center for American Progress, joining us from Washington, D.C. We've been spending our time this morning talking about Judge Samuel Alito. And Judd, let's talk about some of the criminal decisions that Judge Alito has made, the ones that pertain to defendants' rights. There's one that is being talked about quite a bit, and that is the one that pertains to the strip search of a woman. Could you give us the details on that case and why it's so troubling?
Well, the issue was there was a search warrant for a man and his home, and these a woman and her, and so the police came. They executed that portion of the warrant, but there was also a woman and her 10-year-old child who were there. They were strip searched outside of the scope of that warrant. Judge Alito said that it was that was okay.
And that was not the majority opinion, was it?
That wasn't the majority, and it was pretty thin justification that Alito had, which was that he thought it was implied that anyone in the home was also included. And I think when you have a situation where there's a 10-year-old child, you've got to have a case where if the judge is going to allow a strip search, that there better be a lot of evidence that this person is, there's some real important reason to do that. It shouldn't just be by implication.
And shouldn't we be doubly troubled that he made this decision as a judge, given his own criminal justice background? He's a former prosecutor, isn't he? Or does he have that background?
Well, yeah, he is a former prosecutor.
So the fact that a former prosecutor would not be able to look at this warrant and see whether or not something is within the scope or without the scope of the warrant is hugely problematic. We're not talking about someone that just practiced civil law all of their life. He was a prosecutor, then became a federal judge, and this is his decision.
Yeah, and I think it just shows that he's very sympathetic to the police over criminal defendants or over people who are the subject of searches. And I think that that's troubling, not only because of that case, but just because it's this consistent record, sort of regardless of the facts.
Looking for a judge that will approach every case with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to another caller. Yes, caller, you have a question for Judd Legum.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Brown, for your guest. For your guest, Ms. Brown, I would like to ask him, the right-wing conservatives, they want a Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. I would like to know, how does this judge feel about the Roe v. Wade? I know he's against abortions, but would he try to overturn Roe v. Wade, which I do feel, Ms. Brown, does not need to be overturned. The people have spoke about that. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Do we know enough to know what his position on Roe v. Wade is?
Well, he hasn't,
he's not like
made his opinions directly on Roe v. Wade, so you don't know until you know. But I think everything we know from these kind of related issues about what kind of restrictions are appropriate or not appropriate indicate that he'd probably be it wouldn't be too surprising if he were to rule to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Let's get to another caller. Yes, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing? This is Brother Shua, and I was just calling to ask that if it so happens he become the Supreme Court, as they vote him in, will he investigate some prosecuting attorneys very closely that have been sending innocent people to be executed without investigating the cases even deeper? Because we don't need no more of that. So I was just wondering if he might have ties or might have connection into having that investigated a little bit more instead of innocent people losing their lives to crimes that they didn't do.
Thank you for your question. That's another consideration, because the Supreme Court obviously is the final determiner with regard to whether a person's going to live or die on death row.
Yeah, I guess I didn't quite really get it exactly what the caller was asking about, but I do think that this is an important issue, is the death penalty and how our criminal justice system handles it. And there's been a lot of people, both Republicans and Democrats, in different states, who have express real concerns about the ability of people to be adequately represented, to have all of the evidence that might be exculpatory available to them. So I think that's going to be an issue both in states, and also it's frequently up before the Supreme Court.
And also getting back to, as your organization is saying, whether or not this individual, Alito, has and can approach a case with an open mind. Could a defendant who was on death row expect that he, with given his temperament and his previous rulings, even could Alito even conceive of a case where a person could be innocent and on death row? And that's a fair question, isn't it?
I mean, I think that's a question we have to ask. I don't know the answer to that, but I think that that's an important issue.
With regard to how long this this process of members of Congress, the United States senators, looking into and making their decision on whether or not they're going to confirm him, George Bush has asked for a quick decision. He wants it before by Christmas. Is that realistic?
I don't think it's realistic, and I don't think that just because the nominee who, Harriet Myers, the first nominee, got withdrawn, I don't think that means that this next nominee should have any less time to consider him. He's got a long record. Congress is out of session for most of the year after Thanksgiving. So there's really not a lot of time left to give adequate consideration to him. So I think really they're trying to shoot before the end of this year. I think next year is probably more realistic and would be the better way to handle it, because this is the highest court in the land, and so we shouldn't rush through this decision. We should make sure we're making the right decision.
And by the way, we still have a full court because Sandra Day is still there.
That's right. She said she'll stay there until someone is confirmed for her position. So there's really no need to rush on this.
I want to thank you very much, Jed Legum, Director of Research for the Center for American Progress. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks a lot.
We're going to take we're not. We're done. We're done here. Oh, where does the morning go? Where does the morning go? And tomorrow is Friday. Tell you what, I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
To you, you were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deirdre Bryant. Louis Scooter Libby pleads not guilty. The vice president's former chief of staff has been indicted on charges in the CIA leak investigation. The plea raises the specter of a trial, and that could put the spotlight on the administration's case for the war in Iraq.